United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies...
This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon, everybody. What's going on? It's Monday. It's Monday here. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM. What's going on out there, y'all? It's Veterans Day. We want to salute all of those that serve, including anybody in the studio, including myself.
And I apologize for the kindness, Chief.
We'll leave him alone right now because I got plenty about that here. I know everybody, you know, on Facebook is killing us. You know, I know you think you guys are good guys. And you never meant anything wrong, but I'm not with that. But anyway, happy Veterans Day to all of you guys out there. And I hope that we do honor you. I'm drinking my Starbucks coffee from Veterans Day today, as they gave me a nice long roast for me being in the service.
Can I get a nice one?
Gold Corral after 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Gold Corral after 4 o'clock.
Tell me where do the
Denny's all day.
Denny's all day. And you also have Applebee's.
Well, they started and you have
I think you have my drink.
I might go with Sixth Dog because I'll be alone right there. Because she works at night. But anyway, here's the thing. What's the place? The Italian place.
Olive Garden.
If you're not Italian, you can't afford to do it. Okay.
I don't know. Lowe's and Home Depot gives them 10% discount all year round.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Mm. All you need to copy is DD214. Lowe's
actually. Right here.
Really?
I'm going to do that fast, please. I'll be down there today. I know I got to get a microwave. So I might as well go to Lowe's.
Yep.
AM on your radio dial and on your iHeartRadio dial as well. But it's 470-745-529. Interesting thing. I don't know. The pictures you've been watching my Facebook.
Answer a few questions.
In a very wrong world.
and how did Iraq keep Iran from walking in the country and taking them over? We supplied him in the war against us, and we kept him with weapons so that he could defend himself against Iran. It doesn't make have second in command of the Iraq Revolution, right? It says that in 18 months prior to our invasion of Iraq, that all of the weapons of mass destruction were moved to Syria, and nobody will believe it. And yet, now we're getting ready to go to war with Syria, because they're using weapons of mass destruction, and people still won't believe it.
Yeah, where'd those come from, too?
That was my next question.
Yeah. I mean, people are stupid. I mean, Americans, for the most part, have no clue how things run, how governments work.
Anymore.
Right. Oh, they used to. You're right.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Because this isn't how
they're happy
to be in America.
Yeah, as long as they get their food stamps. I bet you on a globe they couldn't even pick out where Iraq was. Most people are that stupid, and that is very stupid, because let's face it, they probably can't even pick out where North Korea is, and that's one of the countries that possibly can launch a nuclear missile and hit you.
Well, yeah.
They can do destruction on American soil.
But they don't care nothing about that.
All they want is their food stamps.
Yeah, they don't care anything about that.
Did you see that? Did you see what Jindal's going to do?
No, but
all those people down there that thought they were going to get away with having their food stamp cards had unlimited, he's shutting them all off. If your food stamp card come up that you purchased all that stuff on it after it was expired, he's shutting you off.
Wow, he's going to be mean.
I would,
you know, I got
off.
That last
I'd,
night.
I'd sue each and every one of them for that cash value back. Even if they don't have it, I still would make them go through courts. That way they would never be able to obtain anything ever again because they'd have something on record.
I could care less about doing that to somebody.
No, I would. They're thieves. Listen, the people that did that, they're thieves. They should be thrown in jail. They stole.
Ben, I'm going to say this one thing, though. They are, and that's probably why they're in the state that they're in, because now they're desperate.
Well, good. Let's throw them in jail.
Well, no. You don't want to take
yes,
care
I
of them. No, you don't.
Oh, yeah, I do.
It costs you more to take care of them on the inside than it does on the outside.
You know what? Let's throw them in jail. Take their kids from them because they're not good parents. Let's face it that way. If they were good parents, they'd be able to provide for their kids in the first place. I mean,
that's not always so.
No. These guys are thieves.
A lot of people are thieves. There's no doubt about it.
And they do not deserve to be out there roaming free. I mean, think about it. What happens if that was your store?
Well, here's the thing.
And that was your money.
You know, I understand that, but I'm still not as far as you want to go. I mean, I want them to deal with this.
But that is dealing with it. That is that. Then they're forced to deal with reality. I mean, they've got no reason to stop doing things now.
Well, I've got a slightly different take on this because I'm sick and tired of hearing about how rich people are greedy.
Uh-huh.
What happened down in Louisiana was the epitome of greediness because you've got somebody who knows that they're going to get a certain amount of money every month and somebody told them that you can go in and take whatever you want even though, you know, every month you get a certain amount of money. So they went down in there and they loaded up their carts. They had no way of storing this stuff, especially the perishable stuff. I guarantee you that they didn't have the freezers and refrigeration that would be needed to hold that food for any period of time at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, rich people are greedy.
Well, rich people are giving tons of money to different places.
Oh, they're paying their taxes, so you can have your food stamps.
Not just that, though, Ben. Rich people are giving tons of money to different places.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We know that firsthand.
Firsthand. That pour tons of money into some very needy areas of the inner city of our little burg. And guess what? They're Republicans.
All of them.
Every last stinking one of them.
I don't have one rich Democratic friend. That's, of course, they're not rich because they are Democratic for the most part.
Well, just look at the politicians. Just look at the
reports from the politicians. You know, before he was running for president, the Obamas gave around 1%. Biden has never given over 1%. And you take people like the Bushes, they routinely give 10, 15, 20%.
Right.
But yet, because they want to steal from somebody else and give their money away instead of giving their own money away, they're the benefactors.
That's the thing. I argued with a guy last night on Facebook briefly, and they were talking about, the poor and how the poor are starving across the world, and it's because of Republicans that the poor are starving. So I said, how is that? And it was this guy, it was our good old caller Diva, and another young lady that doesn't know anything about politics as well. Notice I put them all in one boat, okay? Because they know nothing. It's impossible for you to have Republican cuts in America these last so many years. Why? Because Democrats would have had to vote for them somewhere. And here they're blaming Republicans for people starving overseas and in this country. But the Republicans didn't make the cuts.
My question is, why is it my responsibility to feed somebody
overseas?
It is
not your responsibility, and that's what I told them.
I mean, that's what makes me crazy about people that think like that. You know, they think it's okay to put a gun to somebody's head and take their money and do something with it. And the thing is,
if somebody's really needy, though, I don't mind my tax dollars going so they can survive. I want that. I want to pay for that. All right? But for people that to actually take advantage of the system and start to steal, I mean, literally steal from the system and from the store owners, those people should be taken out and shot.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Hey, South Carolina, what do you think about that?
I tell you what, I'm coming on this conversation, but you guys aren't talking about Bill Maher.
No.
You're talking about the people that stole the food stamps?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Down in Louisiana,
okay.
Yep.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. You can couple that with when people on the left, when they want to evoke an emotional response from someone, the first thing they do is they say, oh, these poor people, they have no way of getting any food. They don't have any way of doing this. They don't have any way of doing that. Okay? Well, I call them lying. I think they're lying because here's the thing. If they were so daggone dead set on ensuring that these people had food, clothes, and everything else, then they would do what most of us do, and they would give. And I'm not talking about just here's $10 there, you know, and so on and so forth. If they are so compassionate, why the hell don't they sell their house, clean out their bank account, and give their own money? But it's so much easier to give somebody else's money. They're not going to sacrifice their own money. They're going to live the same. They want to live the same way they do. They want to live their privileged life. And that goes for anyone. I don't care if you're white, black, purple, green, orange, or yellow. If you're on the left, give up your money. Put your money where your mouth is.
You know what?
Have a focused smile. Sit down and shut up.
I got an award 3 years in a row. And this is what I told one of the people. Because they were telling me how the Republicans, how the government is works well with these agencies to give money overseas. And I'm saying, I don't know of any agency that the government gives to distribute overseas other than frickin' now Planned Parenthood under executive order to kill kids. So now, I don't know of any, and he's telling me, well, I'm the executive officer of this thing and that thing and blah, blah, blah. I said, but have you given any money yourself? He never said he gave any money to himself because he know he didn't. That's what gets me. That's what, it doesn't do that either. I can't say those things on the radio. It's Veterans Day and we're going to keep it holy. I'm proud to be an American.
I'll tell you what.
Well, at least I know I'm free.
Speaking of people who deserve to get more than what they're getting now,
mm-hmm.
You veterans, you guys have put your lives on the line for us, you know, business owners and Americans.
want to say a big thanks coming from all of us who didn't serve to those of you who did. We don't say it enough, but we appreciate it.
Excellent.
So thank you.
Anyway, that is the thing. We're getting ready to go to a quick break here in a couple minutes, a couple seconds. But, you know.
I still want to take you guys to dinner, you know. Anywhere that they're paying for it.
Olive Garden.
I'll drive. Is that good enough?
Okay.
As long as you got a machine gun turret on your car.
That's
so we feel safe.
Why? We're not going through a Democratic area.
Yes, we live in one. You forgot. We live behind enemy lines.
This is true.
That's right. Thank you. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Ben, Sticks, and Jeff, all in the same chair.
No.
Be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
This time it's personal. Tune in to News Talk 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from noon to 3, Afternoons with Tracy and Friends engages the Valley in conversation about everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from noon to 3. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're off. We'll get that at the top of the hour.
Yep.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. Ben and Sticks following up and keeping things moving here. And, you know, we've been really upset about things lately. And I know, I know that people disagree with how I feel. But it's okay because you're going to agree with me very soon.
When
you do, you're going to be pissed.
Yeah. When the government takes your house because you couldn't pay your
phone bill.
No, it's Obama. Don't care.
Yeah, that you can't even.
The one that he lied about.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
if you like your health care,
you can keep
your health care.
You can keep your health care.
You like your doctor?
You can keep your health care bill.
I heard.
You can keep it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I promise.
I heard the Medicare supplement.
Yeah.
The Medicare supplement through United Healthcare.
Yes.
Just dropped every doctor in Alliance.
Thank you. 330-207, you're in there.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? This is Reg calling. How are you today?
What's up, Reg? How you doing, man?
Nothing too much. Hey, listen, I'm not going to hold you here or anything. You know, I just wanted to let you know, man, my best buddy, one of our class, you know, our school classmates in general, you remember Jerome Sharper?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Jerome's not doing good, man. They don't expect him to, you know, be around here too much longer. I mean, if he, you know,
I got you.
Might make it. Yeah, you know, so.
Hey,
Red,
pencil? You got a pencil?
Wait a minute. Yeah, I have one now.
330.
Okay, just a minute. 3-3. Okay.
360.
360. Okay.
1-8-4-8.
1-8-8-4-8. 4-8. Okay.
Put me in your phone, then let me know about those things. You know when we can.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we'll do. Thanks a lot.
Nothing else to say, bro.
And all the other 3 million listeners, give Jeff a call today.
Wish him a happy Veterans Day, right?
Yeah, wish him a happy Veterans Day, and I want you to blow up his cell phone today for me. Please do that.
Yeah, blow it apart so I can get a new one in here, too, because mine is having issues. Check it out. I know he's heartfelt because that was a good – they were very good friends. I know why he did that.
Hmm.
Wasn't thinking about that we're on international
right.
radio. At this particular time.
Oops.
But it's all
300 billion people across the planet now have your phone number.
Yeah. That's lovely to know. Become my friends on Facebook.
Share the hate.
Man. But this is so crazy. This is so crazy out here. We do have a guest that's going to be calling in. And, guest, if your number is unlisted and you are waiting to be picked up, just hit the 1 on your dial pad and we'll pick you up. Okay, we got another local. Local caller, you're in the air.
How you doing, Jeff?
All right, what's up, partner?
How you doing, Ben? What's his name? Skew.
Sticks.
Hey, how you doing?
Haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as being a veteran today, last week I saw a story where it was 65,000 sexual assault complaints in the military.
Uh-huh.
That's all the branches.
Yeah.
That's appalling. I mean, I imagine maybe, I hate to put a number on it, but I'm going to say a third. Probably, you know, someone got touched. But the rest of it has got to be serious. And it's my time of service, my 16 years. I can't imagine putting my hands on a soldier.
Well,
no matter what.
Yeah.
I question those numbers, though. I really do.
I don't agree with those numbers, but I will say this. that in the time I was there, I broke up a sexual assault happening against a young lady that these guys got drunk and they gang raped her.
Wow.
I still can't buy that, bro.
What I'm saying, I broke it up, so I know it happened.
Oh no, I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying I can't see that. That's,
I can't see 65,000 cases of it. No.
Well, you know what? You got to remember, you're dealing with what 18, 19 year olds. Okay.
The testosterone.
Yeah, but you know, I'm saying their sexual drive is you know.
The point I wanted to make was, you know, after every conflict, they reduce troops.
True.
Oh, yeah.
And so you forced me out. That's why I took a medical. And so I wasn't there to show them the way. They were in there on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never put your hands on another soldier, no matter what.
No, I agree. But
what were you, in the Army or Air Force?
Navy and Army.
Okay. So you did double duty.
Yeah, but yeah. But to say it never happens, and you know, it's something that we do need to be aware of, unfortunately, because it happens. And I mean, let's face it, the military is still part of society, and it happens in all aspects of society.
Well, see, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, like I read one story when I got out, they forced a mechanic that was 16 years. He's a dead fighter mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So now, which one do you want? Do you want a guy been working on an SAT for 16 years, or you want this dude just got out of A school? You want the 16-year man.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't want to pay him, so you forced him out. That, you know.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you at least consider coming to an independent party meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I don't agree with your politics, but I agree with your mind. I know you got a lot of common sense.
Well, here's what I say. I work with anybody, Doc, because it's not just about a party to me. Because I'm in efforts to get my own party.
Exactly, because you know what, man, I'm not cutting you off. I'm just trying to be quick so somebody else can call.
Oh, you got time because we're gonna have a guest here pretty soon.
Kitchen could have won if he'd got out and campaigned, right? And I'm not for Kitchen. I don't know anything about him. I'm looking at the numbers.
I know Kitchen, and I know some things that happen. And I'll say this, you're absolutely correct. If he had got out in those last 2 weeks and went to the places that he needed to go, then there would not have been an issue with anything.
And Jimmy Hughes, I could have sold him like crack just off his resume.
Well, you could have. I believe Jimmy Hughes would have won this election.
So, see, we got to all get together and do a meeting of the mind.
Well, but let me say this. I don't think you're going to be not served with John in there. I know Domaine, and I know John, and I know I know who they are, regardless of who backs them. I think you're not going to be underserved. I think there won't be an issue with that. I think that John is going to be very fair, and I think he's going to put together a good proactive plan to make the city grow, because it's in the city's best interest, and especially at this time when you're getting ready to have a huge influx of gas and oil money being spent in the area, plus those steel mills expanding.
Gas and oil money.
Well, you saying that, but you're gonna. I'm gonna have to see that, Ben.
It's already stopped.
It hasn't stopped.
I'm going to call you.
Okay.
All right. Hey, man, I'm going to let somebody else get on.
You got my number, right? You heard my number?
Yeah, I wrote it down the first time.
All right, pretty excellent.
That one brother went to South. You know, he had to get that crayon out.
You better leave me alone, boy. I went to South, too. Hey, we're going to be right back as we have our guest as just come in. We're going to take a short quick break, and we're going to give a tribute to our men in uniform, and then we'll be coming up with our guest of the next hour, author and former military himself, and it's going to be excellent as far as that goes. We'll be right back.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you, and it may hurt still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And we give that to all our veterans out there and anybody that has served. We appreciate you. And we bow to you. And I'm just one of those that when that song is played, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you want to say about me. I do love this country, regardless of how I and some of my people came here. We weathered some storms, and we're here. Nobody has a chain around me, either physically or spiritually, and I'm free. I want to stay that way at this particular time. I am very upset at what's going on in our country, even on both sides.
Yeah.
But before I let it just go, I'll be damned if you're just going to walk over me and make me do things for the hell of it just because you want to fundamentally change what
transform. Transform, not just change, transform.
Okay. Fundamentally transform and change what didn't need to be fundamentally transformed nor changed.
So nobody's going to be walking you into an oven.
You know, no. They'll have to bind me up. Well, they're going to have to shoot me down in the freaking street because I'm not with that. But that's not for me to say. We have a guest on the end of our line. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us the
author,
Mac W. Payne, and he wrote a book called Vietnam, Veteran Memoirs, and in up under it says, A Book of Miracles, The Adventures of a Florida Flatlander in Vietnam. And we would like to welcome him here to Afternoon with Tracy and Friends right now. Mac, Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Tremendous, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, we definitely welcome you with open arms.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending time with us on this great Veterans Day.
You're the one that was out in the front lines protecting our freedom, so thank you.
Especially in Vietnam.
You're welcome, and I appreciate it. And the main reason I'm here today is I want to talk about the book, but I want to blow the horn for that Vietnam War generation.
I'm Barbara Keegan with
veterans.
Your headline news, the mother of an E-type.
Go ahead.
I thought I was on the wrong phone number, but no. Seriously, the main thing I want to do today is pay tribute to that generation of veterans from the Vietnam War era, because I don't think they get enough praise for what they did. They were a wonderful group of people, and they went over and they performed tremendously under trying circumstances. And I just want to say it over and over. They were a great group of people, and, you know, they've gotten some bad press, but some of them had problems. You know, in every group, a few people have problems, and I sympathize with them and hope, you know, they can get over it. But the vast majority of Vietnam veterans came home and lived great lives and are doing great things, and we owe as much of a debt to them, I believe, as all the other veterans. So I had to say that.
Well, let's add this to it real quick, that those veterans were not welcomed when they got back here like they should have been. And because of the political left in this country, you had a group of people that thought that it was right to castigate them for their service to their country, which I wish we could have wiped the whole of them out of our country.
Jane Fonda still needs to be arrested and tried for treason and hung.
Oh, man. Why did you have to mention her?
You ruined his day, Ben.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to ruin your day, but I tell you what, if I was a vet in your era and somebody like that was going out spewing the lies that she was doing, I would have taken her out myself.
Well, I don't go to any of her movies.
I won't. I don't support her movies, or her husband, her ex-husband now.
Yeah, well,
I hate the Atlanta Braves because of that.
Well, I have a special feeling about that because I'm sure you remember that picture that she made sitting on an anti-aircraft gun in the north with a helmet on, smiling.
Yeah.
And at that same time she was doing that, I was flying Cobra gunships out of Quezon, being shot at with the same type weapons, and I just dreamed about looking in that gun sight and seeing her sitting on that gun and pulling the trigger.
Oh, man, yeah,
didn't
tell you what.
About.
No, but at least you tried, and that's all that counts.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mac, you're my kind of guy, man.
You know, I've been listening to your program, and I love your show. I like the way you let them know how you feel.
Well, we have to, you know, man, because
we're outnumbered around here.
Man.
I was wondering about that.
Well, yeah, we carry our own guns for protection around here, too, let me tell you.
Well, remember, this is still a free country, and we have the First Amendment where you can say whatever you want to.
Right.
You know, so far we can still do that. So just keep it up. I loved it. I was like sitting here clapping, listening to y'all talk.
Can you dispel some rumors about some misconceptions about Vietnam vets for us? Because, you know, I mean, the media has really done the Vietnam veteran a lot of disservice.
Well, yeah, there's a few of them. Three of my favorite are number one. You always hear people talk about the Vietnam veterans. They were just a bunch of draftees, and it was just unfair. But as the numbers will tell you, that 75% of the people in Vietnam or the soldiers there were volunteers. Only 25% were drafted. And then along with that, another rumor or thing you heard about them all the time was that they were uneducated. And according to the studies that I've done, the soldiers in that war were probably the most educated. It was the most educated army in any war. Over 80% of the people there were high school graduates or higher. So, you know, they say these things, and you know how it is. When you're in the business, people have a template, and they say this is the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way they report it, and it's not always true.
This is right.
The biggest one. You know what the biggest myth of all is?
No, what's that?
I'm gonna. This one gets me mad when I hear when people say that Vietnam's the only war we ever lost. And
right,
that
is.
We didn't lose that war.
No, we did.
It was settled at the Paris peace treaty.
Exactly.
We never lost a battle. You know. Yes. Our military never lost a battle there. Never.
Well, we lost battles.
No.
No, I mean,
well, we get,
no,
the siege of Kaesong. Who won that?
Hold on. The biggest thing is that we put down the Tet Offensive.
Well, yeah, that wiped the North Korean
Vietnamese
out.
That was it. We won the war at that if we had just stayed there. And we let these idiot, bleeding heart, stupid behind people that had never done anything over here force upon, you know, our people, we need to get out of Vietnam. Oh, my God, that made me upset.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
Sir, listen, I'm for real about when I took the oath and said that I would defend this country with my life, I meant it. You know, I didn't just join for something to do or something like that. I meant it. And it's because I realized what this country had been able to do. If I would, you know, and it's not my father's story, he was a World War II vet. He was driving over during the Battle of the Bulge and picking up bodies and loading them in the back of trucks, as they didn't want the black people to fight at that time. They didn't want too many of the, but he was right there doing what he could to do it in the way of harm's way, and he's got 3 bronze medals as a result. But the thing is that he didn't get till he was like 80.
Well, you know, when it comes to
when it comes to
Vietnam and everything that went over there, once you know the history of the area, I mean, Ho Chi Minh was actually an ally of the U.S. during the Second World War, and literally fought the Japanese tooth and nail over there. And after the war, courted American help to not only unify a country, but also literally to make sure that there was a balance of power in the area, because the Chinese and the Vietnamese hate each other like you wouldn't believe. They were actually in a hot war up to 1975. They fought each other. And by the way, the North Vietnamese kicked butt. Or I should say the Vietnamese at that time, because the country was mostly unified. But 75, 76, they kicked butt. They kicked the Chinese. They went into the Chinese territory like 10 miles deep. You know, something that, you know, that we had trouble doing in Korea. You know what I'm saying? We never did that in Korea. We took all Korea back, but we never made it into China. Well, the Vietnamese did. You know?
They were tough fighters.
But getting the French out and unifying the country was the main goal. And they wanted America's help. And if we would have done that back then, not only would we achieve the balance of power, we could have, you know, really played, you know, mind games with China, but we wouldn't have been in the Vietnamese War. And that's what we should have done.
I agree with you. It's a sad thing that it got to that, that it could have been settled a lot easier earlier.
A lot easier. Hindsight,
yes,
2020.
Well, Mac, tell us a few things about your book, and then we're going to ask you where we can get this book from at the end of that, before we hit to the top of the hour here. So
tell
us a few things you'd like to give highlights of the book.
All right, well, first of all, a little briefly how it got started. I didn't plan on writing this book. It came out like an unplanned child in the family that turned out to be good. It happened. I gave a speech to a Toastmasters club over in Sarasota about the first time I ever spoke about Vietnam, and it was well received, and one of the people in that club was a publisher, and she recommended that I expand on it and write down all these memories that I had, because you need to pass it on. So anyway, I wrote the book, and I called it, it's not another one of these dark theme Vietnam books about all these terrible things. It's more of a book of inspiration spiced up with a little bit of humor, a little bit of intrigue, and even some politics in there. But the best thing about it is it contains the secret of life. It's on, well, I won't give the page number. I'll encourage everybody to buy the book and find out the secret of life. But it was different from all the rest of them, and it was funny when I was writing it. You know, you get busy writing in pieces here and there, and I finished it up, got back with the edited copy, and sat down and read it from cover to cover one time in one sitting, and I said, gosh, you know, I wrote this book, but even I was surprised at what was in it, and there were several things in there that could only be described as miraculous in how they turned out, so that's why I added that tag calling it a book of miracles, the biggest one being my eyesight, how I was able to get into flight school. That was a miracle. But the, if somebody read this book, now it's about Vietnam, but it's also about life and how you live your lives. And I'll guarantee you, if you read the book, you'll be inspired, educated, informed, and amused, because it tells all these stories of just a regular guy who had to overcome adversities. And you can, it's an amazing thing what you can do. It's all in your mind, and you decide how well you're going to do. And I kind of lay that out in the book, how I went down that road and processed through it. And I'm really big on it to encourage people to read it just from the standpoint of it being inspirational. But talking about, you know, how people think about things, I'm also a speaker, and I love, it's opened the doors for me to go out and speak to people and tell them these things that, you know, people can do great things. Look at me, some of the things that I did. I'm not great, but I did a few notable things because of the mindset that I learned over in Vietnam, and I like to tell others about it. So if you know of any good groups that are looking for a speaker that can talk about Vietnam and throw in some inspiration, nothing like a little plug here, but I wanted to drop that in too.
Well, speaking of plugs, how do we go about finding your book? Where do we buy that?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. That's the easy part. You can either go to Amazon. It's available both in the paperback and the electronic, or go to my website that I built myself, and you can get several ways of buying it, you can, including a autograph copy. But the website is VietnamCopy.com, and that's one you can remember even if you're driving down Interstate 80. You can remember VietnamCopy.com. It's like one copy of
VietnamCopy.com.
Yeah, a copy of the Vietnam, but it's VietnamCopy.com, and that gives you some more information, and you can buy the autographed copy and everything. And not just because I wrote it, but I've just got many, many reviews on it that they all say the same thing, that they're inspiring, you know, to hear my story. I tell my story, and that's the best way to tell story, tell points and everything, is tell stories, and that's what I do in there. Plus, I also want to, like I say, again, I want to praise that Vietnam War era generation. They were wonderful people, and they need to be recognized for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think we also should start some sort of a drive on your website to arrest Hanoi Jane and finally get her tried for treason.
Hey,
I mean,
oh gosh.
I'll
you
sign
know,
up
let
there.
Let
me be the first one to sign that petition.
I think you have to do is master the art of forgiveness. And, you know, that's kind of like what I've done with her. And I'm not going to any of her movies, but I've sort of forgiven her, and I don't really plan on doing her any harm other than
I don't know.
Just had a difference of opinion.
She got a lot of boys killed over there because of that.
Well,
yeah, I hate to say that. I have to agree with you on that point.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So, to me, that's treason, and I think she should be arrested.
But I'll say it. I understand that thing of forgiveness because you know she's not going to be tried. And there's nothing we can do, but the art of forgiveness is real. The Bible says that when you forgive, you set yourself free. And so,
exactly.
I am a believer in what that book says and represents.
I'll forgive her after she's tried.
She'll be tried, my friend. Believe you me, she will be tried. She will be. Whether she does it on this side, side of the dirt or not, I don't know. But God is the final judge of all things. So we will forgive Miss Jane. But it says, live peaceably with all men as much as is possible. You don't have to go to her movie.
Yeah. Hey, I came in on the middle of this movie here. Is this Jeff speaking or Ben speaking?
Yeah, this is Jeff right now. Ben was speaking a minute ago.
Okay, good.
Uh-huh.
Got it straight.
Okay, and then you know Sticks. And you know, we are coming to the top of the hour. Are you going to give us a couple minutes after one?
Sure. I'm having fun with y'all. I'll stay here all afternoon.
Great. Excellent, because we want to do that, and we do have some callers that are waiting, and so we want to give them a chance maybe to even talk to you. But we're going to ask you about a few more things about the book. What was one of the most striking experiences you had in Vietnam?
When you say striking, you mean
memorable.
I would have to say the day I received a revelation. I was flying Cobra gunships out over the Kingdom of Laos, and it almost gets back to biblical. And I made a speech about this. Is the speech I gave the main part of it, and that is realizing you're a special person. And I told the story about I was flying out there, and it was an intense environment. They were shooting at us all the time. And you'd be flying around, and those tracers would come up. And if you looked at the tracers coming up and thinking, hey, they could kill me with those things, you know, I might get killed, whenever you would think that, you'd get all discombobulated and everything. But then suddenly I had this revelation. All these bullets were flying up there and everything, and suddenly it dawned on me that here I was, one helicopter pilot flying around, and there were a bunch of them up there that day, a bunch of aircraft up there, and somewhere down in that green ocean, somebody in that horde of people looked up at me with the machine guns, and they picked out my aircraft and started shooting at me, and suddenly it dawned on me that I was a special person. And I never considered myself to be special before. You know, I was just, you know, the regular average guy, never voted the most likely to do anything. But I suddenly realized that, hey, they picked me out of the crowd. I am special. And so I forgot about the tracers and just did my job. Because it's hard shooting rockets out of a helicopter and making them go where they're supposed to go. I mean, it's difficult. And if you don't concentrate on it, they won't go where they're supposed to. They might even hit the friendlies. But anyway, I had that revelation, and I said, hey, I'm a special person now. Somebody picked me out of the crowd, and I just concentrated on shooting rockets, and the rest is history. But now that was – I kind of say that. That's kind of an odd thing to say. That's the highlight. But there were a lot of exciting things that happened, but I just like to pick out stuff like that. It's kind of crazy. But that was kind of true. I thinking, you know, somebody down there likes me. They picked me out of the crowd.
That.
Of course, most of them died later because we shot rockets on them and probably killed them all.
Right.
I don't want anybody shooting at me.
Well, hey, we're about to go to break, and Mac, we appreciate you. Mac W. Payne, author of Vietnam Veteran Memoirs, A Book of Miracles, The Adventures of a Florida Flatlander in Vietnam. And we want you to go pick up this book. You take it at
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com or VietnamCopy.com.
Okay, Mac, and we really appreciate it. I'm pretty sure we're here within seconds, but we're going to be right back after these messages.
Okay.
Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3
up,
on
Doug?
News Talk 600.
Can you hear me?
We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community.
Oh,
get talking
Fit
to
family.
Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Tracy told me to be here at 1 o'clock for the veterans thing. Are you guys
great? Yep.
Great.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. President Obama keeping with a Veterans Day tradition, laying a wreath at the Arlington National Cemetery. ABC's Ann Compton with more.
At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, America pauses to honor all veterans, led by a wartime commander-in-chief. At the Tomb of the Unknowns, the president placed a wreath and bowed his head in tribute. Ann Compton, ABC News, Washington.
There are fears of more deaths in the Philippines if help doesn't arrive soon for survivors of the typhoon that's killed as many as 10,000 people. Survivors lack the basics, food, water, medicine, and shelter. Colonel John Peck with the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Brigade in Manila.
We've already begun to move supplies at the request of the government of the Philippines, and we are standing by to provide additional assistance.
The U.S. using giant C-130 cargo planes to bring in supplies. Fewer toddlers are getting sick from taking medicine. A new study by the Centers for Disease Control finds that pulling over-the-counter infant cough and cold medications from the shelves 6 years ago and revising labels may have led to fewer emergency room visits. Though Dr. Skylar Callady at the Cleveland Clinic says parents still have to pay attention.
We want all medications and all cleaning supplies stored high and locked so a toddler could never get into them in a brief, unsupervised period of time.
Amazon says it's teaming up with the U.S. Postal Service to deliver packages on Sundays, starting in the New York and L.A. markets. ABC's Vic Ratner with more.
It's a major get for the Postal Service, boosting its package delivery revenue at a time when regular mail continues to decline. And the deal will allow Amazon Prime customers to get Sunday deliveries in many areas.
Taking a look at Wall Street, the Dow is up 16 points. This is ABC News.
Right now at the Home Depot, get a 10-year sealed battery smoke and carbon monoxide alarm start at just $24.97. So, let's worry less. Let's do smarter fire safety. Alarms that won't turn off and batteries that won't chirp for 10 long years. Let's do this. Get a worry-free alarms starting at just $24.97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
I need to archive emails to comply with business regulations.
Do you have an IT guy to help search through thousands of PSD files?
No.
Got time to install a complicated product or create detailed reports?
No.
You okay paying storage fees to save duplicate emails and images?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Message Archiver lets you store and find emails fast to avoid compliance and litigation penalties. Easy setup and single instant storage will save you time and money.
And if you need help, you'll talk to a live human.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Did Miley Cyrus smoke pot on live TV? ABC's Jason Nathanson has more on another controversial award show appearance.
I came in like a wreck.
Miley Cyrus sure knows how to light up headlines. At the MTV European Music Awards in Amsterdam Sunday night, the former Disney star won Video of the Year for Wrecking Ball.
You know, I couldn't fit this award in my bag, but I did find this. So thank you guys very much.
That's when she sparked up what appears to be a joint. Amsterdam, of course, is known for its easygoing pot laws, and the 20-year-old has been open about the fact that she enjoys smoking weed. When MTV aired the show in the U.S., the puff session was edited out. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
The new Beatles compilation, On Air Live at the BBC Volume 2, hit stores today. The 2-CD set features previously unreleased highlights from UK radio shows. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Come on, sweetie. Jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy.
Turns out you can use the Internet to get a free quote on state minimum car insurance from Safe Auto. Just go to safeauto.com and see for yourself. The best part? It's quick and easy. You can also call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe. Spend less.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh-baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
She just looks that whole squeaky clean. She loves Dynavite.
I've just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats.
The vitamins, the minerals,
got all the stuff in it that cats really like.
You don't even have to put food with the Dynavite. She will eat the powder right out of the scoop.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog.
She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Sammy, he's 13, 14 years old and is running around a little bit more. His coat is a little bit softer and shinier.
Justin's eyes sparkle more. He bats at stuff. He kind of jumps around.
Daisy and Spooky have a cat tree in my living room, and lately she's been climbing up to the top, jumping up there, and then she'll climb back down, and then she's right back up again.
It is just the best Dynavite for cats.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hello, I'm Chris Christopherson. On November 8, 1965, the 173rd Airborne Brigade on Operation Hump, War Zone D in Vietnam, were ambushed by over 1,200 VC. 48 American soldiers lost their lives. Severely wounded and risking his own life, Lawrence Joel, a medic, was the first living black man since the Spanish-American War to receive the United States Medal of Honor, for saving so many lives in the midst of battle that day. Our friend Niles Harris, retired 25 years United States Army, the guy who gave Big Kenny his top hat, was one of the wounded who lived. This song is his story. Caught in the action of kill or be killed, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brother.
Down in the hell of-
still plays in his head. He limps when he walks, but he's strong when he talks. About the shrapnel that left in his leg. He puts on a gray suit over his airborne tattoo, and he ties it on one time a year. And remembers the fallen as he orders a tall one and swallows it down with his tears. On the 8th of November, the angels were crying as they carried his brothers away. With the fire raining down and the hell all around, there were few men left standing that day. Saw the eagle fly through a clear blue sky, 1965, the 8th of November. November, the angels were crying as they carried his brothers away. With the fire raining down and the hell all around, there were few men left standing that day. On the 8th of November, the angels were crying as they carried his brothers away. With the fire raining down and the hell all around, there were few men left standing that day. Saw the eagle fly through a clear blue sky, 1965, the 8th of November. To fight for the red, white, and blue. He was 19 and green with a new M16, just doing what he had to do.
And you could let that play out. We're back, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Jeff, you're in the air chair here on WSOM 600 AM. And here live on your radio dial, and my phone is somewhere making noise, and I can't get it. But anyway, good afternoon, everybody. It's Veterans Day, and we're going to have a real Veterans Day celebration here as we talk to author Mac W. Payne, author of the book Vietnam Veteran Memoirs, A Book of Miracles. The Adventures of a Florida Flatlander in Vietnam. And Matt was a gunner.
Gunner pilot
over in Vietnam. And we're going to bring him back up. Matt, welcome back, and thanks for hanging in there with us, because we really appreciate you. We have joined with us another sidekick. We have John, who is one of the sponsors of our show, actually, as well. And so,
veteran as well,
and I was getting ready to say, mm-hmm. and a Vietnam vet as well, as we are giving honor to those, especially, I think Vietnam. By the time go ahead.
I was going to say it's a pleasure to be here with such a good group of guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
and
so
gals,
still
if there are any of them there.
No, Tracy's not here.
But, oh, okay.
You know, we still need to start a petition to get Hanoi Jane arrested.
Come
and tried
on,
to treat
come on, Ben.
I mean, after hearing that song,
Ben, it ain't gonna happen. She's free, man. Let her go. Let her go. Woosah, that's what Tracy says.
That's true.
But Matt, now we'll all be asking you questions. We have a couple callers online waiting, and we ask you to be patient about 5 more minutes while we interview. Mac some more. Now, Mac, what would you like to accomplish by what you've written about Vietnam? Because we want people to go buy this book and see what you've written. I have not read the book yet, but I read just some excerpts before we started, and it's very, very powerful, what you're describing.
I hope that people will read it and get a better understanding of the war from the standpoint of somebody who experienced it, and I described all the little things I had to go through and the ups and downs, and in addition to describing some of the locations and everything, but just to kind of enlighten people more on that time in our history and to let people know that we all, well, I wouldn't claim I'm not too crazy, but we weren't all a bunch of crazies over there. We were mostly just normal people like yourself that was, you know, you're living your life and your country calls, and you go and you might not think too much about what it is, but if your country thinks it's important enough to go, you're willing to go and do your part to help out. And that's the main thing, what I'd like to do, say with this book.
Mac, this is John Bullock. How are you doing?
Tremendous.
I'm the veteran. I was a combat medic, and I worked in a hospital in Canto.
Oh man, you know, let me say this about medics. They all talk about heroes, and people used to think gunship pilots were something and all this, but without a doubt, there's no doubt in my mind that the medics, not only the ones on the ground, I saw them do things on the ground that just blew my mind, but these guys flying those medevac helicopters, I have never in my life seen such incredible acts of heroism by these guys. I don't know if something happens whenever they become medics that something goes on in their mind, but I can never say enough about the bravery and all the things that the medics did, whether you could have been in a hospital, you could have been out with a unit, or you could have been flying in a helicopter. The medical guys just will always have my utmost respect. So I wanted to pass that on first.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thank you for writing the book. I had a question. I was all over Vietnam, Saigon, Benoit, Canto, and I did go out on some maneuvers, helicopter, but basically I had three MOSs, and when they found that out, they took me out of the field, and I basically worked. We built a brand-new hospital in Canto, but our perimeter was rocketed and mortared like 2 to 3 times a night anyway. But the question so you understand about that.
So the question is...
For me, before I went over there, I was basically an introverted type person. When I came back, I was a wild man, crazy, extrovert. But anyway, when you're over there, I haven't had a chance to read your book, and you're trying to tell what really happened to most individuals because most people came back different. You go into a different frame of mind as soon as your foot hits the ground over there. So it's almost like not being... You're out of yourself. You're out of your body, because that's the only thing that keeps you from being afraid every second. Is that what you experienced also?
No, definitely. You had to control your mind, because with the situation over there, as soon as you stepped off that plane, you could be shot or killed because they were everywhere. And you definitely, if you let it get to you, it could really mess you up. So that's kind of like what I did. I just said, I'm going to concentrate doing my job and concentrate on getting out of here alive and not worry too much about it. But, yes, you had to really keep an eye on your mind under control over there.
Wow. That's something, as you know, like I said, I never served. Give you guys all the credit for serving. That's something that it's hard for me to comprehend, you know?
Well, I'm able to talk about it a little now, but I wasn't. My voice may change because of some things that happened. So
sure,
but
that's good.
In the past, I wasn't able to talk about it. But you are. It is actually an out of body experience.
Yeah, and for me, it's uncomprehendable what you guys had to put up with when you came back from Vietnam. That to me is unacceptable behavior.
Well, that's for sure.
Coming from the media. As well as, you know, the people. I mean, I understand anti-war movements. It's okay. But you don't attack veterans. You don't.
You do not do that.
Yes. In fact, listen, if I was president, anybody that did that to a veteran would be tried for treason. I'm sorry. You just do not disrespect a veteran at all.
Well, that's the mindset right now. But when I first came back, and I don't know about Mac,
right.
it was completely different.
We were talking
right.
about
how'd
that.
How'd things really
changed in 1989 with the first Gulf War. The way we were talked to, because I came up through 82 was when I enlisted my first enlistment.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're talking about the stress and what went on. And I noticed I was in the submarine Navy, and I noticed the closer you got to the nuclear weapons, the more your attitude had to change, because it was so horrendous to think about what would happen if you would launch, that you had to. The guys that worked the closest with the nuclear weapons had the most macabre sense of humor. And I think it was a defense mechanism.
Sure.
Because we all understood what was going to happen if we ever launched.
Sure.
That's exactly what it is, a defense mechanism. That's why you have to go into like an out-of-body experience to mentally survive, I'd say.
Right, right.
Yeah,
especially with nuclear weapons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, we all had bumper stickers on our cars that said a little nukey never hurt anybody,
yeah.
you know, and things like that. It was a very macabre sense of humor.
That's for sure. It wouldn't hurt.
Definitely
would not hurt.
Yeah, you
would all be glowing
like
in the dark.
Whatever was out of sight of the perimeter, that's true.
No, it's what you guys done, actually, I cannot say enough and give you enough thanks and praise for serving.
But it's really some of the things that I experienced. When I worked in the Fort Devens, Boston Army Hospital, I was a physical therapist technician. And one of my patients did not have any legs. But when he came into the room, this is how strong veterans come back, most of us. When he came into the room, the brightest light became the dimmest light. Because he became the brightest light in that
room.
Wow.
We gotta go to the break right now. We'll be right back, and we're going to open phone lines up right after this break. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Mac, we appreciate you. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
None extraordinary, living in solitary, inside a big black submarine. Big birds of death we carry, it seems so necessary, prepared if we must intervene. Nerves of steely ice, we make sacrifice of the deterrent force at sea. Sure ain't no paradise, but it's a simple price to give our home some form of guarantee. Peace is the goal of the Boomer Patrol, Poseidon the protector of the sea. So we pay the toll to maintain control, do our share to keep our country free.
Afternoon with Tracy and friends. Who's that singing?
That's Tommy Cox.
Tommy Cox.
Submarinesongs.com.
You just had to get the submarine guys in there, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, submariners
are sailors, too. We got the chopper guys in there, so that's good. Next time, find something for the Air Force now, so, you know, I'll feel at home. Look,
that's the golf course. That's the golf course.
Wait, listen to me.
That's the old joke, you know. They go in, they build an Army base, they put in an artillery range, they build a Marine Corps base, they put in a firing range, they put a Navy base, they build the piers, they put in an Air Force base, they put in the golf course first, and then they call Congress and say, we need money for runways.
Listen, I was in the Air Force 4 years, and my base was on a huge golf course.
I rest my case.
Listen, I had the best duty, because I was in, obviously, after John, because I didn't go in until December of 76. And as a result,
that's like 10 years after me. I'm kind of ancient, I guess.
Yeah, you were in the hot thick of the war, and you and Mac were.
66.
Yeah, yeah, and you guys really did something, and they were praying for us at church yesterday with all the veterans. You know, I didn't have any bad duty. The closest I got to anything was when they took the hostages. One time we were going to get the hostages out, and they flew people from my base into Iran to get them. And they were not allowed to use their weapons. They had to go, and they were allowed to come on the base and see what the people were doing, you know, with the hostages, et cetera, et cetera. And they changed my orders to stay in Germany to be deployed in case anything happened. And I was a lab tech and medic as well. And a med tech, they called us. That's what they called us. But the thing was that was scary to a point. But I never saw any fire other than us practicing, you know, when we go to the range and everything. But other than that. But I met a lot of people that have been over here in Vietnam. And, Mac, I want you to, you know, give us some more stories, you and John, because you guys were in the thick of it. And then we have our callers. Our caller lines are open. We have our unknown caller, which I think is Brown. And then you have Matt, and then you have 330-207. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
I'd like to say one thing first, Jeff. You were mentioning that you were in the Air Force and it wasn't the war or anything. Well, I want to tell you this. I don't care when you served or what service or what branch you were in. If you served your country, peacetime or wartime, to me, I think that says it all right there, and you deserve thanks for it. And so please don't ever belittle yourself because you weren't in a shooting conflict. If you're in the military, you served your country and you did well, and you should never take the back seat to anybody for, you know, what your service was, whether it was a medic or infantry or artillery. If you're in there, you're doing your part, and you should be proud of when and where it was. So anyway, I just had to throw that in.
I'd like to echo the same thing because there's only 1-2% of the American population that serves in the military that fights for our country. So I don't care what if you were a musician, whatever you did, you deserve some kind of credit for fighting for our country where we live.
Amen, that makes us the 1%ers.
Yes.
We're the real 1%ers.
We're the real 1%ers.
Yeah.
That needs to be a post on Facebook, I'm telling you. Matt,
you know,
before go ahead, John. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and we're all, I think everybody that went to service is proud of what they did.
Well, I tell you the truth, I absolutely enjoyed every minute of the service. You know, and I did some research. We were sent from my lab because we were epidemiology lab. That's where the base was. It was on a big golf course. But we also had bags packed that if anything, any outbreak of a disease or chemical weapons were used anywhere in the world, we were ready to go at a moment's notice. We had to have a duffel bag packed and ready to get on a plane within an hour of them giving us a call and
That's
go
right.
anywhere in the world.
You were on call all the time, even though you're on that golf course. You could have been in combat, you know, on a moment's notice. So
absolutely.
That's why I think anybody who serves deserves a credit. And once you serve, regardless of the branch, you become a member of that brotherhood of veterans. And it'll stay with you forever, and you can be proud of it forever.
Tell us where we can get the book once again before I open the lines to our callers.
VietnamCopy.com is my website, made it myself, or you can go to Amazon.com and put in Vietnam Veteran Memoirs, and it'll pop right up.
Excellent, excellent. And we encourage our listeners to please go and listen, get this book and read it. Unlisted caller, you have something to say?
It's Beasley. Good morning from California.
Sir Beasley.
I'm listening. I wanted to, you know, wish a happy Veterans Day to all the veterans on the panel. And I remember the Vietnam conflict as a kid. And my folks weren't really in favor of the war. And there were many that weren't in favor of the war, as I'm sure they're aware, and, you know, I commend them for their service. But I was wondering, I did a little reading. I knew about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, but I didn't know as much as I know now that I've been reading while the show was going on. And, I mean, if you look at the Gulf of Tonkin incident that happened in August of 1964, and looking back, I mean, even in 2003, Robert McNamara, who was the defense secretary at the time, admitted that there wasn't really a second attack. And it's this second attack that he admits didn't happen, that was used as the precept for United States entry and ground troops to really be pushed heavy into the war. And, you know, 50,000 Americans lost their lives over there, which is quite a big number. Untold billions of dollars were spent. And our government misleads us.
What's your point?
I don't know what my point is.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I'm trying to be very nice and tiptoe around this.
Well, can I interject? I think what you're saying is that, yeah, most Vietnam veterans felt that they were probably exploited after what happened. But there's people that want to do whatever is right to defend this country. And from a political standpoint, we as individuals don't control that. Sometimes the things that I think what you're alluding to is that, yeah, we shouldn't have been there. It was a wrong war. 55,000 American people lost their lives, and countless Vietnamese lost their lives too. We can't forget that.
3.5 million Vietnamese from 1955, I think, through 1976. 3.5 million is the figure that McNamara gave.
Yeah, as a veteran, I do not believe in war.
Nobody does.
Nobody believes in war.
Nobody wants to have killed or be killed. I mean, that's. I don't think you'll find. I mean, let's face it. Everybody's anti-war.
My big thing is, if you commit the country to a war, then let's fight a war.
Exactly.
Let's quit pussyfooting around. Listen to me, Beasley. Just like we're doing in Iraq, those cities shouldn't have left one stone on top of another. If you're going to go to war just like we did in the Second World War, and turn your enemy into Dresden. If you're not going to go to war, keep the boys home.
Well, the war in Vietnam was intended to stop the spread of communism. The communists ended up taking over in 1975. And it hasn't affected any of our lives.
Oh, yes,
with
it
the
has.
With the communists taking over in Vietnam.
Oh, yes,
this
it has.
Mac,
this wasn't
clear?
A war. This wasn't a war to protect our freedoms here in America. That's the lie that we're told.
Mac, do you want to respond to that?
And our patriotic butt and our button
yeah.
is pushed for patriotism, whereas Vietnam has now been communist and communist rule for close to 40 years. And they're also a trading partner of the U.S. And I don't see how.
Thanks to Bill Clinton.
Yeah, let's let Mac respond to this because he talks about some of this stuff.
Let me finish the thought. I'll be very brief. I don't see how, okay, being as fair-minded as I can, I don't see how that was protecting our freedoms as Americans.
Okay. Fair question.
By stopping the spread of communism. In Vietnam.
Well, unfortunately, it's allowed the people to have control right frickin' now that are taking us down that same damn road. So, listen, you got the wrong one here. But Mac, you better go ahead and answer this one because I'm loaded up here.
You're loaded up for what?
I agree with the
because
caller.
We got a silly behind people in the White House now that are taking us down that road. That's why, Brown. That's
have
why.
Let
our guest answer.
Yeah, let me throw this in. I agree with a caller on the way the war started was bogus, and it might have been questionable being there, but when you look at the overall picture, when you say, well, the communists took over and everything, if you think about what was going on at the time, the communism was on the move, and the fact that we did go into Vietnam, good or bad, and I'll tell you right now, I wasn't in favor of it, and you know, I wasn't pushing it. But I had to get. They said go. You know, when they draw the scabbard, draw the blade, throw the scabbard away, and finish the job. But what was going on in the strategic levels? Communism was on the move. They were coming into the Philippines. They were being very active down in the Indonesia. They were threatening Thailand and all that area. And
they
we went in, made a fight in Vietnam. And even though later they came in 2 years after the peace agreement and took it over, they were thrown out of the Philippines, Indonesia, and Thailand. Today is a free country. And I'd have to say that even though South Vietnam became communist, the fact that the United States made a stand and they drew a line in the ground and stood there, there's other places that today are free that would more than likely be communist, like the Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, and those other countries. So I'd have to say that, you know, I don't agree with it. It was just a big mess and everything, but the one purpose I think that it did serve was it did draw the line in the sand and say, this is it. This is as far as you're going. Now, communism is going to die off on its own anyway. Communism and socialism is a bankrupt theory, and it only they can sell it like snake oil, but it won't last. It didn't last in Russia. It won't last. It didn't last in China. They're
any
getting away
else.
From it. And so I'd have to say overall that a lot of people can question it, but I believe in the big picture, all the guys that went over there participated in a grand thing that did kind of like put a stop to the growth of communism, and, you know, we stood our ground. We didn't do today like, say, I'm drawing a red line, and, well, let me draw the red line here, and I'll move the red line back. You know, the line was drawn, and we stood there, and we shed our blood to protect that line, and I think it had an effect later. Now, I'll agree with the caller on the bogus thing about that Gulf of Tonkin and all these other things was a little on the bogus side, but I think they were just looking for an excuse to exercise that power, and that was kind of provided itself. But overall, I think it was worth the effort as you look at it down the road.
Almost definite.
Well, I agree with you, Mac, and also agree with the caller. Most Vietnam veterans, when they came back to this country, most of them believed that they were exploited because of those exact events. And it was a political thing, but still they went to fight for our country, not understanding every essence of why they were there. But when they came back and all the political things that happened and acceptance, rejection of soldiers, of veterans, most of us feel that we were exploited in Vietnam.
Well, you know, it's not just Vietnam. I mean, in every major war America's fought in, including the American Revolution, those volunteers of that Valley Forge during the hard winter months questioned why they were there, and they left en masse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I mean, yeah, anytime there's a major conflict, there's going to be questions whether we're there or not. But I do not want Americans to criticize other Americans that are doing their job, whether they think it's right or wrong, okay? These servicemen, okay, the guys who fought have no – they're doing what they're told to do, and they're
I'm
doing it on behalf of us.
I wouldn't criticize
right.
them. They're
right, but that's why people like Hanoi James.
They're without belittling them at all, but
in
if this is a chessboard, they are the pawns in
they're
this
pawns,
game.
Yes, they
right.
are.
Yeah, a soldier is a soldier, and at that particular time, North Vietnam could not launch an attack on the United States. So why were we there?
Well,
the only war that if you go on some of the things that have been previously said, the only war that we should have really fought in to defend our country is when we were attacked in Pearl. The latest war was at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, but, I mean, and if you were listening before, you know, you came on, I said that whole war could have been avoided.
Which one?
The Vietnam conflict.
Oh,
war.
Definitely.
Yeah, Ho Chi Minh was an ally of ours fighting against the Japanese.
Yeah.
All right? And also the Vietnamese and the Chinese have such a hatred for each other that we could have exploited that.
Yeah.
Ho Chi Minh just wanted a united country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Instead we said, hey, let the French go back. They had it before. We'll let them have it later.
Yeah.
We should have never done that. Okay. The French helped us fight for our freedom, right? We should have helped the Vietnamese fight for their freedom.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the French were actually kicked out of Vietnam, too, before we got there.
Well, They
Hold
left,
on, 714.
They left voluntarily. They lost one battle.
Matt, you're in air.
I'm still here.
Matt. Matt, you're next, and then 714. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead, Mac. No, Mac. Mac, you go ahead and finish your statement. Then Matt, it will be right after you.
Oh, okay. One thing, you know, you say, well, Vietnam wasn't going to attack America. At that time, the Cold War was going on, and that was pretty serious. And the friends of Vietnam could definitely attack America. So it was just a big titanic duel of the Cold War.
We were sending a message to Moscow, is what we were doing.
Yep. Well, yes. Uh-huh. And so this is it. You know, stop here.
Yeah, I was only making that statement based on, you know, something from a concrete standpoint. You're right. Communism had friends, and there was more powerful people that were in that realm. So, yeah, we had to draw the line in the sand. And that's
you
got
to admit, though, the whole thing was stupid. You know, they were over there. We sent all these people over to this place.
55,000 lives.
Absolutely. Yep.
58,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
55,000.
And you know, like I said,
if policy in America was a little bit better.
All those 50,000 people that died, 55,000, every one of those people had families, and their lives, 55,000 families' lives were forever changed. You know,
yes.
They will never get over it.
And just wasn't on this side of the conflict either.
Let's not forget the 3.5 million Vietnamese.
That's right,
all of them.
Yeah,
a lot of people were affected.
3.5 million people.
Okay, Matt, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff, you know what? I want to thank you, Jeff. I want to thank Styx. I want to thank Mac. And I want to thank John and every single veteran that's within the sound of my voice for everything that they've done to serve this country, to protect its freedom, to keep us a whole and generally try to keep us on a moral path. I thank you for everything that you've done. My father was a Korean War veteran. He was 82nd and 101st Airborne, respectively. He saw combat. He was wounded in combat, and he was the one who really introduced me to just how sacred and solemn a veteran, especially one who's been overseas and seen battle and seen war and watched his brethren die. I can't say enough. And for people who are wondering what to do today, who have the same feelings, here's what I'm going to do, because I've been doing it for the last 10 years. I'm going to go out to my local restaurants. I have about 5 or 6 around my immediate area. I'm going to ask a waitress if there's any veterans in the restaurant. And if there are, I'm going to sit at the bar and wait till they're done, pay their bill, and walk out.
Hey,
gentlemen, make sure you come
to
the Springfield Grill about 6 o'clock.
Yeah, what kind of car you drive? We'll be looking for you.
I'll tell you what.
Better yet, tell them what kind of car you drive so we can look for you.
That's right.
Because I may want dessert somewhere else.
Hey, Matt, this is Mac. I just want to thank you. And I can tell you, your father must have been a cool guy if he was in both the 82nd and the 101st Airborne Division. Those are two outstanding outfits.
Legendary.
He was definitely tough, that's for sure.
One of the first Screaming Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
He was a Screaming Eagle, absolutely.
Hello.
I had the opportunity.
Hold on, 714, you're next.
I had the opportunity to get together with him and some of his buddies from the 101st. And I'll tell you, what you want to talk about a motley crew, it was the most insane, most memorable time, the most memorable dinner I've ever had. It was 3.5 hours of laughs and actually realizing, and as close as somebody who's never gone into combat or realized what it is, there's no movie that can draw the picture that these gentlemen did. It was a fantastic time.
You know, as a skydiver, I got to say this. I would be more than honored to jump off a plane with a member of the 101st Screaming Eagles. You did.
Yes, I did.
You?
I jumped with my father.
Oh, my God. Tell me, just knowing what they have done, their history, I mean, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. I would be more than honored to jump out of a plane.
Okay, 714, you're up.
Yo. God bless the USA. That's all I got to say.
Yep. God bless the USA.
Amen.
Amen to that. Absolutely. I don't know what your guys' argument was about earlier, but, man, you guys are pissing my wife off. But your show's great. I like it. I just signed up myself.
Does that make you happy? Anything that pisses your wife off, right?
Does that make you happy?
No, I'd rather him be on the phone so I can go play with my new toy because he's not very good now.
Tuesdays is the relationship show when Tracy gets back.
That's a big talk. She knows damn well I'll slap the shit out of her.
No swearing. Terrestrial.
We are on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, we are not just on internet. We are on local things. So could not hit that.
Vines? Yeah. They talk vines and all kinds of stuff.
You're talking to people not just on the internet.
Not only you're talking domestic abuse and about 5 years in prison.
Right.
Do that.
Yeah. Plus, we don't condone domestic violence.
Hey,
any of them.
Yes.
Right. You better not look at her in the wrong way in the next couple of days.
Yeah. Only slap her if she enjoys it.
Okay? Oh, Ben, no.
Come here, Hutton.
I am so fired.
This is going downhill fast.
Hey, can we get back on the subject? I got to leave for the show. I want to give out. I read an alarming statistic this morning.
You got to adopt him.
Hold on, sis.
Okay,
go ahead, John.
I read an alarming statistic. The last time I was here, one is positive. The unemployment rate for veterans was around 12%. Now it's around 6%.
Mm-hmm. God bless America.
Yes, across America. So that says a lot of industry and companies are trying to do their best. But one that's really not positive, 22 veterans are killing themselves or committing suicide every day.
Wow.
22.
Wow.
And that's a fact. But the one point that I read this morning that was alarming to me, and this is really something that everybody should write their congressman, call a congressman. They need to do something about how they treat veterans. 70% of those 22 Americans that are committing suicide are over 50 years old.
I tell you what, that's the Vietnam War era.
They're over 50 years old. So what does that tell you? Not just Vietnam, but so what do you think is going to happen?
I'm 50, Ben.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen to the young men and women
coming back now?
Exactly. That are going into the theater 6 to 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unreal.
A nation is known by the way it treats its veterans.
Yeah. If I see anybody mistreat a veteran, I'll be on your butt faster than you can say it. Cheer cracker.
That's the best. The best thing about the Gulf War, the way they're treating these guys coming back from the Gulf War, is wonderful. You know, they treat them real
well.
Well,
if I ever see anybody mistreat a vet of any war,
I think he's talking about the attitude. I think he's talking about the attitude of the country, not the services they're getting from the
government. If I see anybody, those people that were picketing the burials, the funerals of veterans.
I'm sorry.
Coming back from the Gulf, I tell you what, I see you, there'll be a double burial.
I'd hate to say that, but that's my sentiment as well.
Yes, you disrespect the
714. Do you have something to add? Go ahead.
I got something to add. Woman, let me speak. First of all, the reason why we're having so many deaths of people 50 plus is because this country is going to hell. Because we're corrupt.
New World Order.
Some bad stuff's happening, and I believe it. Because
there's no doubt, but
it's not good. Our votes are crap. In California, they're outside the Walmarts picketing for votes about boys and girls sharing bathrooms together. I mean, come on.
You can't
do that. That's weird. That's just weird. I mean, women are going to start growing beards?
Let your wife talk. Let your wife talk.
No, it's always the people from California that mess me up.
You have one opinion, that's all. I just think this government disgusting stuff, it's population control, weather control, it's the RFID. I mean, Vietnam War, we flooded them with weather control. Come on, man, it's not about oil. You know what it is? It's about capitalism. And it's sick and twisted, and that's why I don't eat canned soup. God bless.
I got you.
Wait.
Well,
let me
give you the scientific or medical reason for the people that the men that are over 50. It's called latent post-traumatic stress. And what happens is these men and women, when they're younger, they're active. So after the point of some point in their life, in their age, when they become less active, that stress comes back on them, and that's probably why. Well, that's what I was told.
Well,
I
hate to interrupt you. I'm very sorry, but I understand that. But you know, if you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, guy's well over 50. He could probably lift more weight than me, and I'm young, right at the age of 28. I got no.
Schwarzenegger lifts weight, but he's talking about the Marines that get mentally hurt. They need help.
Yeah, but he's active though. He's active
they
all
get
the time.
He's very active. Just ask his housemate.
God bless you.
Just ask the cleaning lady.
Hey, 714, we're gonna hold you back just for a minute. We're getting ready to go to break again. Mac.
He's also worth a couple of hundred million.
Yeah, he's probably,
right.
Yeah, he is. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, it gives you a good reason to live.
Okay, Mac, I'm going to let you say something here because we're at the top of this hour, and I don't know how long I got you, but I'll keep you as long as you'll stay. But check it out. The people that spit on the people coming home from Vietnam are running your country right now. It's the same crowd, and it's the same crowd of people. It's the same people with the same mindset. And the thing is they don't have a respect for the military, as you see the military today being totally dismantled once again. Clinton dismantled it the first time, and then when we had 9/11, we had to ramp it up all of a sudden, and then you get Bush getting blamed for people not having armor in cars when it really wasn't Bush's fault, but that's okay. He had to deal with it.
No,
he
it's
got
not okay. Democrats
well,
got people killed.
Liberals and the liberal
and
progressives because
yes,
they're the bleeding hearts.
And they should be tried and shot for treason.
Well, Ben, you want to kill everybody?
Try every anti-American
well,
today.
Johnson that went in front of the American public and wasn't sure about the intelligence reports that came from the Gulf of Tonkin, but pushed for war. And what he got was the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution.
Well, I got it. I got it. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No,
finish.
No. I mean, so, you know, I guess.
Yeah, Johnson
was
a what?
He was a Democrat.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, the reason why Johnson had anything to do with civil rights is the same reason. Is because he knew he was going to escalate that war, and he couldn't do it while he had bad things going on at home.
Who was the president when we signed the Paris Peace Accords and got our boys back?
Richard M.
And what was
yeah.
he?
He's a Republican. Politicians
yeah,
do things
you know
for
what
political
he was?
Reasons.
And impeached. But
he was a progressive Republican.
Do you know what he was?
He was
not
a crook.
He wasn't a crook. I am not a crook.
I mean, one of the problems was Johnson was trying to run the war out of the Oval Office, and you don't run a war out of the White House.
No.
You let your generals fight
that's
the war.
That's what we have a Pentagon for.
Right.
That's where war should be run.
Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, they ran the war from the White House, too. They drew up the plans for the Iraqi conflict. Look, the military-industrial complex is a beast that has to get fed. And it's going to get fed regardless of who's in power.
Yeah,
whatever
well, you're right about that. You're right about
and that.
That
okay. And you know, you can go throughout history.
Throughout history, wars were profitable. They're not profitable anymore.
They're still profitable.
Profitable. I am not doubting that wars in the past were profitable. I'm not doubting that people didn't profit from the wars we had recently. But as a whole, okay, this war has bankrupt our country.
I mean, the problem is the gold standard.
But that's
yeah,
profitable.
If we were on a gold standard,
we
Russia would be short and violent.
Right. So that's. Yeah.
But when you can print money out of thin air to fund a war, then you can have war eternally.
Forever. Yeah, years.
Okay.
It's still profitable. It's bankrupt the country, but you have to realize who lends the money.
Whoa, we're going to break.
Well,
we got to go to break. We're
hey,
going
Jeff.
To be right back. After...
Okay, I was going to say
yeah,
thank
Matt.
You for letting me come back. I got to
yeah.
go.
I'm gonna,
okay,
I'm
John.
Gonna
sign off here. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, well, thank you, Mac.
Thank you.
Thank
Green
you.
Room.
We'll talk to you later.
More about Tracy and friends.
Green Room. Hello, Green Room.
Hello, Sir Beasley.
I made them laugh today. I was real careful about my words with these Vietnam vets. You know?
I heard you struggling.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to offend anybody. And Jeff went crazy anyway. he tried to go
yeah,
crazy anyway, and then they said, no, I agree with him. He's making sense.
Well, Beasley, it's not about what you were saying. It's about the day. It's Veterans Day. The people on the radio today weren't in control of the political decisions that were happening.
I'm fully aware
of that.
They are pawns. They are pawns in the bigger picture.
Right,
but,
and that's. I think that's. I kind of cringe too, not because you were wrong or right, but because of the day. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I started off wishing them a happy Veterans Day. And I understand their status. These are they take orders. But if you look into, I mean, just Google and look at and read the Wikipedia on the Gulf of Tonkin. It was a false flag. Those were small boats. There were two skirmishes. One of them was probably didn't happen. And it was pumped to the point that allowed U.S. troops to be sent in there en masse.
You're right to an effect. I've done some research on it as well, and I don't know anybody. I mean, I do know some Vietnam vets, but no one who was involved with that. So I don't know the true story. I've heard stories that
well,
go
that
both
was
way.
In, that was August of 1964. There were two incidents. Well, one incident and one incident that probably didn't happen. In fact, as I was reading further, they said Johnson said privately, he said, for all I know, they could have been shooting at some whales.
Right. And I'm saying firsthand accounts. I don't have any firsthand accounts. I've seen
okay.
stories that go both ways is what I'm saying.
Well, Newsweek, Time, and whatever, you know, magazines of the day, they all supported this story. I mean, the powers that be made a push for this war to happen, and billions of dollars are spent, and lives are lost, and it tore this country apart. It's not a good thing. This didn't have to happen, and I understand what he's saying about the spread of communism in these other countries and the stand in the line. Look, Vietnam's been communist for close to 40 years. It hasn't changed our lives. They weren't, I don't feel like they were over there fighting for our freedoms, just like I don't feel like they're fighting for our freedoms in Iraq. There's other agendas there. And they push people's patriotism button, and you're fighting for our freedoms. If anything, our freedoms have been eroded by the people that we have, that we've elected in office.
And what's even worse is they get these soldiers. They put them in these conflicts. Then they come home. Actually, they treat them horribly before they even put them in a conflict. I mean, the civilians treat our military way better than the military treat our military. I mean, to see how some of these soldiers and their families live, everybody talking about the screaming eagles. But as honorable as they are, that base is horrible. Horrible.
Now let me tell you something about the 101st and the 82nd. My father was firsthand experience. He had 8 years with them. He was Special Forces. He was in Korea. He saw battle. He was wounded. He didn't love it, but he had respect, and he would never ever trade that time of his life other than when he was serving for the United States Army and doing what he was doing for the freedoms of this country. He said it
not
for the 20 for the
20
war
five.
Your father, but my daughter's father.
Well,
he
lost her father
when he was sent to Iraq and came back not the same person he was. He's a shell of the person that he was. and to see him suffer how he is, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, there's
and I didn't understand it at first. I couldn't understand it at first. But now I'm like just seeing him and seeing. I remember when we were dating, when we were married, how vibrant and charismatic he was. Mm-hmm. And now he's like a skitterish mouse at times.
Right. So, war is absolute hell. It really is. And it does change
and
people.
And he was a part of the 101st. We lived on that airbase. So I'm not speaking from somebody else. I'm speaking from the experience of how the military treats their soldiers. They treat them like crap. They treat
them
like crap once they sign up, and they treat them like crap after they send them home from conflict.
They treat them to be hard, and they treat them to fight even in the face of death. That's why they
treat
them hard.
That's fine in the training. That's fine to train them that way. But the fact of the matter is, Matt, you have military families who suffer before conflict and after conflict. It makes no sense that you have military families who live in poverty. It makes no sense that when they come home, their lives are shattered and scattered.
These people
and then they do nothing about it.
You're right.
These people are expendable and unimportant to the powers that be.
Well, they're expendable to quite a bit of people. The powers that be now is absolutely correct. And back in Vietnam, they were expendable then, too, which is half the reason why we had the stalemate and it lasted so goddamn long. And it's why we're in Iraq.
It's why we're in Iraq and Afghanistan right now.
It's because of the political atmosphere and the fact that nobody lets the generals, and when we go to war, nobody fights a war to win it. It's all about political correctness. It's all about what the American people say.
The general is not commander-in-chief. The general is just a general.
Well, you know what Johnson did and why Vietnam lost so many lives? Do we understand that?
Sometimes you can't really trust. Sometimes somebody has to have a cooler head to prevail. Because if we had to the generals, we'd still be in Iraq.
If we had what?
They wanted to stay in Iraq. There was no point in us going there. There was no point in staying there. They wanted to stay because they have this. They are conditioned that to finish out something no matter what. Well, somebody has to be able to have a cooler head and say, you know what, we've done all we can. We got to pull back.
You're right.
They should have never gone over there.
And it was called Vietnam, and it was called Korea. That's how we fought those wars, and that's why they lasted for so damn long, and we lost so many damn people and didn't have anything to show for it, is because we followed those tactics. In World
we
War II,
never went.
We went
that's
in,
why it lasted so long. That's, I mean,
it got
look,
out.
If you look at the difference between the Revolutionary, all the wars in the beginning, the ones that were actually fought on American soil. Now, those were wars for our freedom and our livelihood. These wars that they've created, I'm sorry, I support the troops 100%, but I can't go along with supporting wars for no reason that pushes another person's agenda or somebody's ego, and then you have all these soldiers, military personnel coming back half a shell, half with no limbs, and they have no support from the very people who sent them there.
Let me ask you a question. Is South Korea communist?
I don't know. That's not my fault. I don't know.
All
I have to look it up.
Is South Korea communist?
Hello?
Is South Korea communist?
No.
Okay. So by getting into the Vietnam War, even though it was run as a stalemate, we actually stopped the spread of communism into South Vietnam.
Oh, my God, but what
Vietnam.
Difference has that made in our lives? That's made no difference in our lives. Vietnam is communist and hasn't changed our lives one bit.
When you have more communist countries, you have more communist soldiers, you have more communist thought and more communist money, and you have more communist war power, and you have more communist ways
That hasn't changed our life at all.
America. It hasn't.
It hasn't changed our life at all.
It just hasn't.
It's propaganda.
The communist idea has not changed America in one iota.
We still have a U.S. Constitution, do we not?
No,
kind of.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and friends. No, it's not Sean Hannity. He's not on for another 50 minutes.
That's what I was thinking.
It's afternoon with Tracy and friends. It's Jeff in the air chair and Sticks John and Lee and Ben had to go take care of his business. Both of them had to take care of their businesses. And we have our chat room and the people that are in there, Brown, Matt, Diva, and Not-So-Blind Mike. And we're going to finish out the day. And I want to say one thing first before we do. Yes, I said it, that the people that spit on the Vietnam people returning home are in the White House now. I know nobody really believes that. Or you don't, or you believe that that wasn't started by an ideology that was anti this place. Now, we've done some terrible things at times in this country and outside of it. There's no doubt about it. But by and large, this country has done more good throughout the world than it has done bad. Agreed. And I would say to you that we do not need to fundamentally change America. We need to do some things to change some things in America. Mm-hmm. The government is not responsible for you to go screw, and we all have to take care of you. The government is not responsible to pay you while you lay at home and smoke blunts and watch movies. The government's not responsible to take care of your child that you had yourself. Not that we don't help people that have fallen on hard times. But when you start out on hard times because of your choice, that's a different matter, and you need to start using some responsible self-control. That's what ticks me off the most. And that's what bothers me the most. Not that we shouldn't take care of the poor. That's not what I'm saying. Not that we shouldn't throw poor people away. No, I'm not saying throw poor people away. I'm saying stop paying for bad behavior. Now, go ahead, Diva. You're next.
I would just have to say on that note, then we shouldn't have to pay subsidies for oil companies and other corporations.
Oil companies make more money for you than any. Wait a minute. Oil companies, for every subsidy you give them, guess what? They make and put into your economy 10 to 20 times more than what they're getting in a subsidy.
Should not be the government's responsibility to make sure that you got cheaper oil prices at the pump.
Hey, Diva.
It should not be the government's responsibility to make sure that your business is thriving. So I guess from your premise, it's not really about taking care of those who are making bad choices. It's about production and who is producing back into the economy.
Because if
people
don't
like
anything,
then
what are the actual subsidies that the oil companies get?
They have to get all kinds of benefits.
No, while they rake up huge profits. No. They don't rake up huge profits. The profit margins are less than the average restaurant in your town. Okay? What are the subsidies? I hear people kick this around specifically.
What are you basing that on?
I'm basing it on the fact that I know a lot of people who own restaurants. They operate on 8%. Their oil companies' profit margins in some years are 3.7%. Don't go by the billions because
they do trillions of dollars worth of business.
That's right. They do trillions of business, but they only make billions in profit. You're right. It's 3.7 to 4.8% is their average profit range for the last 20 years.
After they cook and manipulate their books.
After they pay your grandma's pension fund that's invested in oil stock and energy stocks, you mean? Those profits?
Please.
I'll tell you right now, Brown, from a ground level, I've had a lot of dealings with oil companies, and I haven't seen
a single one.
Yeah, they are. Actually, they are.
They're
from
great.
A ground level, from the farmer's level, you better believe it, they're great.
They're the
they produce a lot of wealth for a lot of people. Absolutely.
So because
they make a lot of people, they make a lot of people's lives very much better. And Diva, if we had no income tax, these so-called subsidies that you think they're getting wouldn't exist. I agree with you. Nobody should get them. You're right.
Right.
I'm not going to disagree with that at all.
See,
let's do away with the income tax, and let's do away with all these government handout programs from General Motors all the way down to somebody on the corner. Absolutely.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
Yep. Do away with all of them. And Diva, the next time you need a county road put in your county and the price of asphalt is through the roof, that's part of the subsidies too, because you see that's a petroleum-based product, and that gets subsidized.
But I don't have a problem with subsidies. I have
a
problem with
people,
the unbalanced
that's part of an oil company
on the
subsidy.
Right.
That's
the
part of
poor
an oil
people
company
who
subsidy.
Seem to be unproductive, who make bad choices, should not get no help, according to Jeff. But the greedy people at
that
the
top. That is not true.
You're not telling the money because it makes our lives easier.
No.
That's
the thing is,
like
is that you all always want to throw up the subsidies that the business get, when in reality those businesses keep your butt afloat. You don't get any welfare if those businesses don't pay their people and they pay taxes. That's where you get your. That's where you get the money to give to the poor. So you need to leave them alone.
The largest corporations don't pay taxes. They do employ people, but the largest corporations don't pay taxes.
Well, of course they don't. They take advantage of the tax laws.
They
take advantage of the lawful legal tax laws that your people put into place. When I say your people, those of you who have had control over the Congress, the people you keep sending back to Washington.
None of my people. I'm not responsible.
I don't know. I'm talking about the Democrats.
I'm not on any side of this thing. I think they're all bad.
Everybody hold it right now.
And Brown, I will agree with you there, too. We need to disband this fascist system that we have allowed to grow up inside the country. Absolutely. The government needs to quit picking winners and losers. It needs to quit bailing out General Motors to the tune of $9 billion in taxpayer money.
Okay,
most
hold
of which
on
went
now.
To the pension funds of the unions.
Okay, not so blind. Hold on. And Diva, you're going to make your point that you wanted to say slowly so somebody could catch it. Whoever didn't catch it, I don't know. But then not so blind, you'll be next. And then I'll bring in my local caller next. Go ahead.
I don't have a problem with subsidies per se. I understand that corporations, when they get their subsidies, their tax breaks or whatever, it tends to come back. However, I have a problem with the rights assertion that people who make bad decisions should not get anything, any help, because they don't produce anything. They don't
make our lives.
But that's what it sounds like you're saying. You're picking winners and losers. Now, I may not agree with it, but I can completely understand where he's coming from. At least he's saying, look, get rid of it all. We all suffer the same, whether it's at the top or the bottom,
and we don't
have to worry, and then you don't have to worry about picking winners or losers. But, Jeff, you sound like you're saying you want the government, it's about picking winners and losers.
No, they pick their own losing by their actions, and that's the point. And the point is, I'm not responsible because you're irresponsible. That's the point.
Let's talk about your responsibility, Jeff. Let's talk about your responsibility.
It's not yours or my turn.
Let's talk about the reckless trading that was done by the investment banks.
That's over.
It's not over because they were bailed out to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. I have to finish the thought.
You didn't let me finish a thought.
Go ahead. I really wonder sometimes if there's ever any thinking in your positions, Jeff, because you don't waver at all. You're further to the right than Attila the Hun. You know why?
Because I'm for the truth, Brown. I'm not for the BS that you guys want to and the trajectory that
subjective.
You want to bring up.
And I thought I was stuck to the left. Now, wait a minute.
Let's go back to what he was talking about, investment banks. Who signed the legislation doing away with Glass-Steagall, which separated investment banks from the commercial bank? Don't play this Democrat-Republican right-left paradigm game with me.
I'm far above that. Bill Clinton did.
And he had a Republican Congress.
And I'm not going to defend any of them. They're all plutocrats. They're all working for the big money interests. If you guys haven't figured that out yet...
I figured that out a long time ago. Absolutely, we figured that out. But you guys say that in one breath,
and then the next breath you're caught up in this right-left paradigm, Democrat-Republican stuff, which doesn't carry a lot of weight with thinking people.
No, it's libertarian versus progressive is what it is.
Precisely.
Because you are a progressive, sir, and I am a libertarian.
I'm not anything. Don't label me. I'm a human being. I don't label myself with anything. I'm a human being.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's fair.
He's a loving, caring human being that doesn't care. He's stepping on a blind guy's time to speak next. But that's
go ahead, blind guy. Go ahead, blind guy.
He's a loving, caring, big hug to you, California.
Go ahead, blind guy.
Only Beasley and I could talk that way.
Go ahead, blind guy.
Go ahead, speak.
All I'm going to say is this. This is the definitive, end the argument forever statement that I'm going to make on the subject of tax loopholes, subsidies, and federal grants. All of that stuff was voted in by our Congress, Democrat and Republican, over the years, because one thing government recognized, that there were sets of problems in our society that government realized the private sector had to handle, so it financially incentivized people who came up with the solutions. So we can complain all we want, but that's just more of the divisiveness that Beasley hates as much as I do, where it's them against us. It's not them against us. That's how they manipulate us. The bottom line is all of those advantages were put there on purpose because there were problems, and they knew if they made it worth somebody's while money-wise, and we all agree upon money's running everything, that somebody would address those problems because government didn't want to or couldn't. And that's what those are all about. So when somebody gets a subsidy or a grant or a tax incentive or whatever, I just say, well, obviously, it's because they found a solution and they're addressing it. That's why they get those benefits.
And before the rest of you all come up, local caller, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve. And I want to say hi to Diva.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Diva. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I kind of miss the guy from Philadelphia too, so I kind of wish he would call in. But what I had to say, Jeff.
Oh, Steve, I didn't know.
What?
Nothing.
Well, what I had to say is that I've always felt that the government should maybe help, like I said, disabled people who are born maybe with some type of physical and who's mentally retarded, severely retarded.
Okay.
You're right. I don't think the government should help people who are able to go out and, who's able enough to go out and work and provide for themselves. I think that women make bad choices when they marry young men who do not want to work and take care of their child. So I think that it's not up to the government to, just like myself, if I got a young woman pregnant, I feel that that's my responsibility as a man to take care of that child. It's not up to the government to do that.
That's all I've ever been saying, Steve, is that
And one more thing, Jeff. Yes, I think people like myself who, if I'm, even though I might have a learning disability, doesn't mean I can't work.
I feel that
mildly retarded people and even people with mental problems can work if they take the medication. So if they're able enough, if they're able-bodied person, they can work. But I'm saying somebody, I've met people who are severely retarded, who don't know themselves in the world. They can't work.
We understand. Steve, you're going over something that's not necessary. I understand that, and I'm not against that. I vote even in my area for my property taxes to be raised to take care of the mentally retarded, for the people that are disabled. Anybody that they put a thing on our property taxes for, for those that are less fortunate, I vote for it. So we're not, don't get me twisted, because you hear the lie of the left saying, the people on the right want to do away with this. They do not. If you don't fix Social Security, you won't have any pretty soon. Because they've been raiding, the Social Security, and all you got is a freaking IOU from the government. And guess what? You're $17.5 trillion in debt, which you cannot possibly pay back.
Jeff, just calm down, dude. We'll just print more.
Oh yeah, you can't print more if they
change. Yes, you can.
Now they change the petrodollar, which they're doing.
Oh, you just keep printing. We got a printing press.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Of course
you can. One more thing I have to say: like today is Veterans Day, and we have a lot of veterans who are disabled also.
Absolutely.
So I'm for helping our disabled veterans.
And who isn't?
Because they do a service for us.
And
our
who isn't? Huh?
You're right, Jeff.
Thank you. Because nobody's saying don't take care of the veterans. Okay, so that's the craziness of this argument, because we have people that are playing political theater and they put out these little stupid false news reports seemingly support, you know, what's happening in the country right now or this, that, and the other. All the craziness that they put out there, and then you got people to believe it. Oh, yeah, listen, look at this, man, look at that. You believe all this stupidity because they're playing political theater.
Well, the thing is, Jeff, nobody wants to not help people in need. It's just that we have a difference in the way we want to do it.
Exactly.
You know, those of us who lean libertarian, we want to reach in our own back pockets and do it on our own, and we don't think that we have a right to tell anybody else that they have to help anybody. And that's the bent. That's the big divide, because there is a large number of people in this country that believe they have a right to put a gun to somebody's head to help other people and force them to spend money to help other people. Libertarians don't believe that. We believe in reaching in our own back pockets.
Hey, Sticks, what I had to say also is that I remember, let's say, 100 years ago, there were no social programs intact.
But
although the churches, as well as, I think, Salvation Army, they help people like myself and poor people back in those days.
Well,
I think that's what you're talking about, they did back in those days, let's say more than 100 years ago.
But the history of this, if you go back, the history of a lot of this is the mutual insurance companies grew out of what were known as beneficial aid societies, the groups like the Grange and those groups. And people belonged to these mutual aid societies is what they were called. And the majority of people in the United States belong to a mutual aid society of one form or another. And these mutual aid societies had doctors on staff, and they had boards that handed out charity to their members when somebody got sick. And with the advent of the Second World War and the fact that they had to figure out ways to raise wages without actually raising wages because we had wage and price controls, came the modern health insurance and the modern disability insurance system that we have today.
Yeah, here's the thing. Just cracks me up. Go ahead, Diva. You're back open again. I saw you. What you did? 614.
I'm just listening right now.
Okay, very well. But here it goes. What we're saying, we're not against these things, and don't anybody mistake that. That is not. I am not against not taking care of kids in this country. However, when you have a system that only gets 30 to 35 cents down to the poor out of every dollar given, that's something wrong with that system. And it's not efficient because it's government. Primarily, it's because it's government. Now, for my Christian people, guess what? God never intended for a government to take over what he does. So now, he's given you a way to get it from him, and so therefore you're to seek after him, not after the freaking government. For my Christian people, for those that ain't, I can't say that to you. But I'll say this to you. The Bible says, I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor a seed out begging bread. And so, therefore, that is the mark of somebody that has this, is with God, is that you ain't going to see them begging. They may not have a whole bunch of everything, but you ain't going to see them begging.
Okay, so I have a question.
All right.
So if a person is looking to feed their family, it's okay for them to seek after charity of man, but it's not okay, but it's not godly. Because you're saying that you may, from what I'm getting, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, you're making it seem as if God is not providing through the government system. He only provides.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that what happens is people get dependent on that system, and they don't look anyplace else. They stay right there.
And it could be a downfall for many people.
And when it is a downfall, yeah. And it's a downfall on purpose.
To keep you from, let's say, applying yourself and getting your education and being productive in society.
On purpose.
I could understand that prior to 1996. But after 1996, there's no way you can stay dependent on the system because you're going to
either
way, you're going to have to work at some point.
There's dependency on the system, and sometimes it's intergenerational. You know, it continues
Sometimes
it's intergenerational.
The unfortunate thing is that the right, and I'm not on the left, okay, that the right chooses to focus on this topic primarily while ignoring other areas of where there's waste.
I agree with you.
Particularly
right.
particularly in military contracts.
Oh, definitely.
Particularly in military spending.
Oh,
we now have a new department, the Homeland Security Department, whose budget is huge. It's close to $1 trillion. This didn't even exist 10 years ago. Well, it did. It was in its infancy 10 years ago. This is a behemoth.
But, Beasley, we will concede to you gladly the point. Every single federal department that addresses anything is so inefficient that if it were given to the private sector, it would have been fixed for half that money a long time ago. Look at all these companies now on less than billions and billions and billions of dollars in budget, putting stuff into space, servicing our space station, bringing cargo, satellites, and everything, and doing it for $10 and $15 million a launch, not $300 million a launch like NASA does, you know? And these
aid is something else that needs to be looked at as well.
Sure, because foreign aid...
Maintaining an empire and a global presence, I don't know the figures, but it has to cost untold billions of dollars each and every year.
Well, it's a huge part of the defense budget.
Well, I'll also bring up this Abrams tank program.
Yeah.
That general said, no, hey, we have these tanks sitting up.
We don't need
any more.
But that goes to Mark's comment earlier that it's not the generals fighting the wars anymore. It's the politicians. A politician has factories in his district that make parts for that tank. That's why that got approved. It has nothing to do with what the general asked for.
I think the tanks are made, or one of the main places that they're made is in Lima, Ohio.
There's even parts of it made in France.
Okay. So
it's still part of the foreign aid package.
But they're not even needed. They're just piling up. Now, if you want to focus only on people in this country that receive handouts or aid,
yeah.
There's problems there. Who can deny that? Okay.
Right.
But I would rather give something to people than build tanks that we don't need. That's where
we'd have to also take a look at how much black ops we're doing. Because I bet you that a lot of those overpays and things like that are to support black op operations somewhere, or technologies being developed that we don't know about.
Which is all about maintaining the American empire.
Oh, I agree. It is. There's no doubt about it because that's who we are. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, what I have to say, Jeff, is that I'm grateful that I do live in a country that does look out for people like myself, because other countries
don't
have this system, like Haiti and parts of Africa where our brothers and sisters come from. There are many countries that do not look out for disabled and the elderly. They have to fend for themselves, or either they just go ahead on and die. So I'm grateful that. You know, I have to say, God bless America. You know, I know that people don't approve of social programs, and sometimes I can understand that, because maybe it does hurt a lot of us from
bettering ourselves and being productive members of society.
Well, it's
don't
not just that, Steve. No, but don't tell that.
Well, I got to go. But
all right, my friend. Have a good one. I got another call coming in on the local line. Oh, here we go.
Got a fax machine.
Got a fax. Somebody send me a fax.
Message. That's a poor man's text message.
There you go. But anyway, you know, once again, you know, we fight these battles, and like I said, Brown, you're absolutely correct when you said that when we fight the left-right fight, you know, we're the ones sitting in the middle fighting while they're stealing money off of both ends of it and signing our death certificates with another hand.
You
and,
know what? I have to disagree with that. It's not the left-right fight that's the wrong fight. It's the Republican-Democrat that's the wrong fight. The left-right fight are two different political theologies. It's whether what you believe. Should we be a socialist nation of the good of you know the you know like what Obama's been preaching as far as spreading the wealth and all that other stuff versus conservative a rightist attitude. So it's not left versus right. It's Democrat versus Republican and what you're willing to buy, what you see on TV.
And I should have said that because that's exactly what I meant. Because you know, the one thing is the left is destroying us. I mean, it's very clear to see. Let me give you a for instance. In our nice Senate, they just approved a military bill, and guess what? Senate bill approves and legalizes sodomy and bestiality in the U.S. military.
Oh,
now, tell me something. Why in the heck would they do that? Because you have the LGBT evangelist that does not want it to be illegal for you to for a man to screw another man. Okay, and so therefore that law had to go, and he got it thrown out through his Senate because that's what
Senate.
Isn't bestiality sex with animals?
That's part of truth and training. For years, the drill instructors in boot camp were calling us a bunch of dog blankers. Now it's true.
Hey,
all it is military
go back.
Going on. That's all it is.
I want to walk back here. You were talking about charity and stuff. And the average government take-in gets 20% back to the people. According to Charity Watch, that's an F rating.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get a C, you have to put 60% back into what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So our government gets an F for charity.
And that's why you give – and that's why there's a thing called charitynavigator.org or com, I forget. And there's another one out there.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
And they rate everything, and they're non-biased, and they even tell you what the big shots at the top get for annual salaries and whether or not that includes corporate jets and how much of the money goes to the advertising marketing companies versus goes to do the work. And it's eye-opening. Some of the most famous charities.
I think the United Way, which is one of the largest charity-type organizations in the country, I think what they actually give to the needy is less than 5%.
Right,
95%.
Because I don't give a dime to the United Way.
Right, the United Way
but
is bad.
The United Way is so big is that people are allowed to give donations directly out of their paycheck, a deduction.
Yep, exactly. They've got
people can agree to give like,
in
you know, 1% directly out of their check to the United Way. So that's a...
And the Salvation
Army
is one of the best because no one gets paid. The international director of the Salvation Army gets a $20,000 a year salary that he's expected to live on. Okay?
Yeah,
and yet the head of United Way, I think it's something like $600,000 a year plus a $2 million expense account.
And what the United Way has done is they have infiltrated into the corporate culture, and they give these corporate big shots all bonus. Well, I don't even want to say bonus attaboys for getting their people to sign up. I had a job interview years ago, and they said, "Well, you know, you can sign up for United Way because everybody here gives to it, and if you really don't want to give to the United Way, and the insinuation was, well, if you don't feel like signing up for United Way, maybe we really don't need your services."
Right. Because
we're,
it's the big
because
public,
we get
it's the big public attaboy that they get. They get a lot of
right.
public recognition.
Right.
Which
because
they can
we're
use.
And,
right.
and this is why I don't have a problem with social safety net programs, even for people who make bad decisions, because everyone has made a bad decision in their time or in their lifetime. Because as much as we would love for charity churches to support the needs of the people, it's just not feasible in our society. So something has to be done. You can't just let people fall by the wayside just because you're against government programs, just because you have a problem with the decisions that they've made, because it's the means of helping them are not there really 100% in the private sector.
Diva,
yes, did you hear what
yes,
I just said?
Wrong, Diva,
did
you're
you
wrong.
Hear what I just said?
20 cents of every dollar the government collects in social program money actually gets back to somebody that needs it,
right.
where on average in the private sector it's 80%.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that
80% figure?
I'm not
speaking
against private sector.
Yes, and to get rated, to get a C rating, 60% has to go back. That's
what's
a C
rating of United Way? I think
United
Way is the largest.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah, the United,
said the United Way was one of the worst.
It
they're
is.
The,
largest,
the United
true.
Way is not
but
the only
but United
one.
Way isn't all. Diva, there's over 30,000 registered charities in the United States, over half of which give outright grants to women who are single mothers to improve themselves. All they have to do is apply. Their biggest problem is hardly nobody applies because nobody knows they're there, but they're all registered with the IRS, and you can get a complete listing of them by going to the IRS.gov, and there's 30,000 of them, and they'll give you $100,000 to go to college to improve yourself.
For example,
what is that mother to do while she's going to college? Who's going to
What about
somebody who has the children already and who's working? It's the same deal. You got time to go to college. You got time to make bad mistakes.
I'm not saying that. What I'm doing in the meantime, while she's trying to better herself,
Diva,
whether it's
I will tell you if
that's
you
what
listen.
Welfare's for.
I will tell you if you will listen. For example, when Jerry Falwell was living, and I'm not sure if this is still the policy, any unwed mother that walked through the door, any unwed pregnant woman that walked through the door of Liberty University was given a college education and a place to live until she was done. Did you know
and
that?
That's one university. One university. How many other universities
are you not
do
listening?
That?
There are 30,000 licensed charities, over half of which will do the
how
same.
Many people how many people are in poverty? 30,000
because
charities
it's their
and not
choice
every charity
not to
does
look
the same thing.
Because they're so focused on their own little pity trip problem, they're not looking for solutions in their
are,
own
you know
life.
What?
These charities
go
unclean.
Michael Mark, I'm not going to get into an argument with you because I don't
because
think
you can't
you're
argue, Diva, because
what
you're
I'm
arguing
saying.
A
no.
losing position.
No,
they won't get
you
off their
are,
butt.
You
have the
and somebody's
supposed to
I'm
knock on your door
thing,
and hand you
and
a check?
Yes. Not
whatever.
So blind.
I'm
that's
not,
exactly
not,
what
I'm
they
not.
Think. Hold on, Diva. Hold on. You're going to get yours out. And this is the thing. What we're trying to tell you is with all of those charities that are out there, you don't have very many people that are even looking to try to get to those charities. And they're not looking for them because you know what? Many of them have bad skills because their parents never taught them that they needed to learn enough so they could freaking read and find out where to go. And so, therefore, you have these things being done over and over and over again, and you have to stop it somewhere. Now, I know how to stop it to where it will not happen again, because if we cut you off after your first child on welfare, I'll guarantee doggone to you. You will not be having these people out here going and screwing and laying up and having more babies with sometimes multiple fathers where not one father is taking care of the kids.
See, that's where you're wrong.
Wait a minute, Mike.
You guys, this is why I say that you guys are stuck in some type of bubble because you just explain how the welfare system works now. A mother can only be on welfare for 3 years. And then if she has children after that first initial 3 years, she gets a 12-month extension for each child, but she's cut off after 36 months. So 6 years
There are some though that will keep having babies though.
But after six years, it doesn't matter. You're not getting
Where is that at? Where is that, Diva? Is that in Ohio?
That was the law. That's with welfare reform. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Welfare reform 1996 is what happened to that system. Everywhere across the country, you cannot get a welfare check for more than 6 years, no matter how many kids you have.
That's not true
at
all.
And, Diva, what else
has
happened?
That is true.
Many of these families have moved from welfare to SSI also.
That's true.
You look at the lower-income families in this country, many have one child or more on SSI.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
In fact, the schools recruit lower-income people into the SSI program because, as Tracy said many times, somebody's getting paid. The schools get more money for a developmentally disabled child. The parents get money for a developmentally disabled child. So there's a recruitment going on, an active recruitment, and it's mainly among lower-income people in the United States.
I'm not going to deny that that is happening. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is the system that Jeff is speaking on, how he said he could fix it, that's how it works now, but people are still, these women are still
You didn't hear what I was going to say, so you can't say that.
You said that if you stop them from, if you cut them off after the one child, you won't get anything, whatever. You've been saying this for a while. That if this is how we're going to do, if you have one child, we'll help you. You have another child, we're going to help you, but we're not going to give you as much. And then after a certain point, no.
Well, that ain't what I would do.
That's what you said several times, ma'am.
One child, we're going to help you. Okay, and we want the name of that father. And that father, if he's living, he's going to work to take care of that baby.
That's the way a lot of these women won't give up that name.
If you don't give up the name, you get nothing.
Exactly.
Okay, you get nothing if you don't give up the name. Okay, but that's what we do now. Diva, you left me. But anyway, we do one. On your second child, we're not going to give you one dime more. But we want the name of that father, and he's going to work or go to the service just like the first one.
Well, I don't know about going to the service, but that's the way it works in Scotland. If an unmarried woman has a child, that father's name goes on that birth certificate, and the state goes after that father to pay for his child before the woman gets a nickel.
Right.
Well, like I said, one child is the only thing we're going to help you with.
See, I'm kinder than you. If she enters the welfare system with five kids, okay, honey, we'll take care of you and your five kids. You got to give up the names of the fathers or father. Any kid that's born after that, once you're on the system, baby, that's on you. You ought to know better by now.
See, here's the thing. With a mother with five kids, she'll only get support for that 3 years. And she only gets support, not enough to meet the need of those children.
Well,
also,
in 3 years, that's enough time to hunt down the dads and get child support.
Let me finish. You guys are talking about a system that's already in place because in order for a mother to get a welfare check, she already has to give up the name of the father because now welfare is connected with child support. And it does not matter if she doesn't want to. Even if she's living with the father, she still has to give the name, and it automatically go after that father. Now, we can talk and cry and complain about how the enforcement system works, but you guys are talking about a system that is already in place.
Well, once again, my system is not talking about this, then. If it's all set and perfect and fixed, why are we talking about it?
First of all, it's not that it's fixed.
What she's saying is what you guys are proposing already exists, is what she's saying.
But it does not, what I'm proposing does not exist because I say you help one time. The second time, you don't give no 12 frickin' month extension.
Right.
We're just going to let the second child starve to death.
No,
we're going to make his father take care of him. And if his father can't find a job or train himself, we will train him and get his butt in the service, and he will serve out some time till he decides to do something constructive with his life rather than just have babies.
You know what?
But do we want a person like that in our military, forced into military service?
Oh, they're in the military already.
Absolutely. Because he refuses to be responsible. He must become responsible, because usually he ends up in jail or dead. So I think I'm being quite humanitarian by forcing his behind to get some discipline in him and go to the service and learn a trade or something that he can provide for himself.
Either
he needs to learn how to fish.
I don't think any single mother would disagree or have a problem with that, because there are too many women out here struggling.
They do.
No,
they don't give up
their
name.
Oh, you know what,
Georgie? They feel sorry for their little man.
Part of the reason why those relationships don't work out is because the man isn't responsible. And those women, they generally find themselves distancing from that guy because he can't support. You hear all the time.
But why would a woman lay down with a man? Why would a woman lay down with a man that she doesn't, that she knows isn't going to be able to take care of her and her children?
She doesn't
because
know,
she
and
feels
she doesn't
sorry
care.
For him. She buys his line of BS. She feels sorry for him. Women are notorious for picking up
birds
with broken
really.
Wings.
I mean, if hindsight was 2020, every single woman, no woman wants to lay down with a man and think, "Oh, I'm going to lay down with him," regardless of whether he's going to take care of these kids. But we all have a hope and an expectation that things will work out. It just doesn't pan out that way. So if hindsight was 2020,
we would all be in much better shape. I would venture to say that even the majority of us on this panel right now were accidents.
Absolutely
most children
not.
Are not planned.
I would venture to say most
of us were from a different generation. Okay, we're from a different generation.
Yeah.
Where, you know, most of our parents, I don't know your situations. I know my parents were married, and they were together for years, and I guess they did it the traditional way. So there was a commitment, and thank God for good parents. But that isn't the way things are today.
Well, no, it's not. And
well, the problem is, when I was growing up,
it is a societal problem.
Right. Right, Brown, but see, we've lost something. When I was growing up, there was a saying, the wedding was a formal one, or Daddy had a white shotgun.
Right, or a shotgun, right, a shotgun.
Right. Well, we have to understand where we're at right now in society. We're actually pushing the non-marital beliefs. It's pushed all over the place. Even the government They actually are trying to push the fact that, and they push statistics saying that marriages don't last long anymore, so why get married? Why have any
I don't believe in marriage. I would never be married, but I don't have a bunch of kids running around. And if I had any kids around, I'd be supporting them.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of people
that
have the same beliefs
than some
that
of
you
people
have.
That's just true.
There's a lot of people that have the same. A lot of people that have the same beliefs that you have about marriage, but they're not taking the initiative like you to not have children. They just don't care. They're just out to get off.
Now, listen,
yeah,
listen,
that,
listen,
that, that,
listen.
That's too bad, because it is irresponsible. It is irresponsible, and our society suffers for it. But if you look at a larger picture, okay, and if you can draw a connection between privatized prisons for business and children born that are not going to have the type of instruction that we had with a mother and father around and extended family in a community that's keeping you on the straight and narrow, even if you went off to the left or to the right, you kind of knew you were doing wrong, and eventually, hopefully, you'll straighten out. But I bet there's a direct line from children born with no instruction, no real direction, and a parent
absolutely
that is stressed out to go into the penal system where it's for profit, and the government
absolutely
is sponsoring it all along. So it might be by design.
It is by design. And Brown, they're building prisons on the test scores of inner city children in the third and fourth grade. They are proposing building prisons in different areas by those scores. So therefore, that's letting you know something, what they intend for you and why, and that the government themselves are keeping you there. And why do they keep you there? Because of two things. They need a voting base that don't know a damn thing, excuse me, okay? And then, because you can see how these people vote, that they don't know nothing, okay? And then, because they vote against themselves all the time. And so number two, they need a low level labor force.
You know you use a lot of slick codified racial language. You're good at it though.
Do you mean?
Okay.
It's for anybody in that range. It doesn't make a difference whether you're black or white or Mexican. They're going to use your
codified language. I'm just letting you know.
Well,
I mean, Brown,
I'm telling you facts. I'm not telling you my opinion. This is what they're doing. And by the way, I need to say this on welfare before we close out. The answer to the question is how long you can stay on welfare. It says how long you can stay on welfare in the United States depends on the situation in your life that allowed you to get on welfare in the first place. Mm-hmm. Welfare applicants are graded on their level of need and incapacity or capacity. There is no set limit on how long you can stay on welfare. You can reference this. Can I finish?
Okay, go ahead.
You can reference the answer at www.welfareinfo.org. Now, if you don't believe me, go to the freaking site. I don't want to hear nothing back about it till you know that you know. Because I know people that have been on welfare much longer than 10, 12 years.
And
I'm sorry.
I know, just because I know from personal experience. And all you have to do is call down to the welfare office yourself and ask them.
You said
welfare
you can't get no more than 3 years.
I said you get 3 years for your first initiation. You can't get no more than 6 years.
That's not true.
I had another website up here. There are entire classes of people that are exempt from that.
Sticks, do you own any Section 8 housing?
I just did my first one.
Okay. Now, so you're not familiar yet?
No.
Okay. When I was coming up, my father had like 6, 7
mm-hmm.
Section 8 houses, okay?
Right.
I was responsible to paint and clean and all of that stuff. Now,
landlord
kid. I know it changed in 96. But it didn't change that much in 96 where you only have a certain amount of time to be on it. And
okay,
that's
wait,
the
we,
problem.
I guess
I
we
believe
have to
it's
define
the
with welfare because Section 8 and food stamps are completely different.
Yeah.
Are you talking about a mother who has a kid and receiving a check and doesn't is not working?
We got to figure out
or are we talking
welfare.
About other programs?
Matt, I'm talking about getting welfare, and I'm talking about getting
cash assistance.
Right,
cash assistance.
I'm talking about getting welfare.
Does food stamps come out of the USDA budget? Food stamps come out of the USDA budget. They're part of the Farm Bill. Section 8's paid out of another pot of money. And welfare
is cash assistance for a mother who is not working. There is a limit on that. As far as food stamps,
eight for dependent children.
Once again, it's telling you that there are parameters which they judge this by, and it's your incapacity or your capacity. There's no set limit on how long you can stay on welfare. And like I said, I know. Now I was very closely related to the school system. I know people before and after 96. They've been on welfare almost all of their lives. And so, right now, people that have been on
welfare. What welfare are you talking about?
I just said it.
In Section 8, you can be on welfare as long as your needs are applicable to their limits.
I'm saying welfare. Diva.
I don't think anybody ever gives
times.
Up Section 8 housing. And for those with
they
Section
don't.
8 tenants. For those with Section 8 tenants, I'll say a prayer for you. I got a nightmare story I could tell you.
Me too.
I had a
well,
partner with that thing.
We're at the end
and
of our day,
something?
So we'll...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brett. Quickly, Brown.
No.
We got to go. We only got 60 seconds,
better
man.
To take your it's better to take your chance with regular paying tenants. There's
my first
really?
Section 8 tenant I tried to collect rent from is sitting on death row right now because he shot a cop.
Oh.
He pulled the same gun on me when I tried to collect
the
rent.
All right, we got
to
go. We got to go. Thank you, everybody. Sticks, thanks
bye,
for Jeff. Coming in and hanging out. We did our thing today, afternoon with Tracy and friends. We'll be back tomorrow. Tracy should be back in here. We'll talk to you later. Love you all. God bless.
Avoid the rush and listen to us.
tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSON. You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett.